welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, indeed, indeed. 866-901-ADAM. Now's the time to talk if you have something on your mind. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla. Good morning, Teresa Strasser. And good morning to you, Big Old Brian.
Well, speaking of Bald Brian, I was looking at the message board last night, and I look at the message board from time to time.
You're losing your hair?
Because I know it can be painful, but once in a while, I get some ideas about stuff that people want to hear or like or suggestions or something like that. I'm all... I'm not...
Tell Danny to move on.
I'm not going to rip off anything from anybody's morning show, but if someone wants to write something on my message board and someone has an idea, I'm not adverse to using it.
Where's the sports?
Dude, I'm pitching a television show right now that came from the furniture guy.
Yeah.
I even wrote him a little letter. I said, I think you're joking, but that's a great idea. If I pitch it, you're in.
Good. Well, now what is it?
Should I tell you?
Yeah.
Well, I think you should.
Well, it's written, and people know I wrote it. My agents already, I've already pitched it once, and they really liked it.
Yeah, all right.
All right. He heard me say on, it's the guy, at, I want him to be, I think he's from Pulse TV or whatever it is. One of the guys I've been furnishing my house, right? And so he's seen me on Larry King and CNN and MSNBC, and he's seen me very gruffly say, now what advice would you give Britney Spears?
They ask you that.
Always, always. Or Lindsay Lohan or whatever.
Larry King and everyone wants to know what advice.
And I'm kind of bored with it. So I tell the truth. I say nothing. And they said, no, really. What would you tell her to help her at this moment? And I say nothing. I have nothing to say to her about it.
Isn't that why they have you on?
Yes. But no, mostly they have me on to say vicious things about people who just had their children taken away.
Right. But it's the comment on the woes of other child stars.
Right. Oh, I comment on their woes. I won't comment on their cure.
Oh, I see.
I will give advice because I said to them, if I was watching TV and getting high, and the Pope came on TV and said, hey, you Danny, that'd probably catch my attention. I look up and the Pope would say, no, yeah, Danny Bonaducci. It's me, the Pope, the German one. I want you to put down the drug right now. I would say to my friend, dude, I am so high, I swear to God, I think the Pope's talking to me. You got any more drugs? So there's nothing you can say to a drug addict. You can't tell a drug addict to put drugs down and they're going to do it. Never, ever going to happen.
Plus, Britney would be like, why is that Klansman telling me to put down the crack pipe?
Right.
Why should I listen to him?
I ended up saying to
all
of them.
And where'd he get that Polish accent?
I ended up saying, on all three of them, because I was getting kind of bugged out and I was having a rough day or whatever. I said, you know what I really would offer these kids, though? My guest room. I have a guest room. I don't take drugs. I don't drink. I have a girlfriend their age who can't keep up with me. I have the funnest life, the most fun life in the world. That's what I'd offer these kids, my guest room, and a really fun life that involves no drugs or alcohol.
Your guest room in your new place.
Yeah. And so the guy writes back, hey, that sounds like a great show, Danny's Guest Room.
This is the AV guy.
Yeah, it's one of the guys that I've been, because I've been ordering offline. I've been ordering furniture offline.
Right.
And I wrote back to him. I said, you know what? It does. And even though I have said it, I didn't put it together that it would make a good show. If I sell this, you're in. And then I even wrote him back what I'd pay him.
How do you know what to pay him?
Because what they do off, and you should probably know this, what they do normally is they go off your quotes, meaning your last show, your last pay. He doesn't have any. So he's going to get scale, which will still be $2,500 to $3,500 a week and probably a line producer credit.
$2,500 to $3,500 a week for creating the show is scale?
No, nobody creates reality shows.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What's scale?
Scale, if there is an actual scale, because these are usually not union shops, it would then be considered bottom of show, which again would still be $2,500 to $3,500 a week.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, who would you like to win?
That's a lot of money for him.
Yeah, it does. But, I mean, this last show I just sold, it's just cable. Is it obscene to say what they pay me? It's not an obscene amount of money in the world, but would you like to know what they pay me?
Yeah.
I would like to know anything you bring up. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I'm afraid I do.
I think what you're saying is, now that you've brought it up, the audience is curious.
What I mean is, in radio, if you go, I have a new girlfriend, She's kind of famous. People know her name, but I don't think I should bring. I don't think I should say that.
I just don't want to be.
Rude. But I think it's in a way. Well, first off, you can talk about anything you want to talk about. I don't think it's rude, but I think it's ruder to say I paid a lot for a car. I don't think I should say how much. If you got a new car, my feeling is in radio, or in conversation, if you bring something up that somebody wants to know the part B of, you got to be prepared to bring up part
I'm absolutely
B,
prepared.
Or don't bring up part A.
I'm absolutely prepared.
So it's not rude.
I'm also prepared to ask the guy with his name on the door if that sounds really bad to say how much money you get paid.
He gave me the okay.
I don't care. I've never looked.
I don't mean you personally. I mean your listener, the Adam Carolla listeners. Are they going to go, what a dick to say how much money he makes?
They may. But
if you're curious enough to know, I will not tell you. I won't say VH1 because it's in my contract that I can't. But my last cable show that was not on deep cable, it was a pretty good cable channel, $32,500 a week.
For who?
What, Midge? Me, period.
For you. Yeah.
Because you are the producer, creator, and talent.
It's funny. I am the creator of a show they never did. Because reality shows,
but people,
first of all, they can't be created or they're not reality shows.
People need to understand before they do the 52 times 30, whatever, to math that you're talking about 9 weeks or 14 weeks or whatever it is.
12, and then season two was 8 weeks, so 20 weeks.
Yeah, it's good. It's still good money.
It's great.
But it's not when somebody who's doing a show like Danny was doing says they're making 30,000 bucks a week and you go, oh my God, what's 3 times 52 or hell, take 2 weeks off for Christmas, 3 times 50. It's not 3 times 50. It's 3 times 8, 3 times 12, yep. Maybe 16, whatever it is. Still good money. Don't do the 3 times 50 math.
And here's the other problem though. Usually I've had very good luck because I did Breaking Bonaducci. And when I wrote this new show with the kids to try and make me look better, VH1 was kind enough to buy that one, too. I don't know anybody outside of this room, actually. And I've known people that have been in Hollywood their whole lives and never sold a show and have been grinding every day of their lives. So what you can do is you can not only take that 3 and only make it times 20, but that's over a whole lifespan because that might be your only break. From my first talk show, Danny, to my next talk show, The Other Half, was 9 years before I was on television. From the time Partridge Family ended till the time I was on the first talk show I had, was 17 years without a job.
It's not even 3 times 20. It's 3 times 9 or 12 or whatever.
Well, Adam, going back, what was your idea?
Huh?
What was your idea from the message board?
Oh, forget it. Hey, Adolfo.
You're losing your hair?
Sorry, Bald Brian.
Forces me to do it.
I forced you to do it.
Sorry.
No, I know what the idea is. I don't have enough time. Hey, Adolfo, it wasn't about me. It was about Brian. Adolfo?
Yes, sir. Good morning, Adam.
What do you have to say?
Well, I actually wanted to give Seep some praise on Teresa. I think she's doing a wonderful job.
I agree.
And I believe she's probably she is the best female on KLSX and probably any other station in Los Angeles.
Wow.
Well, there's Heidi.
Right, which does a great job, of
I'm
course.
A huge fan of Heidi.
And then there's, Frosty's the other female on. There's Heidi. Maybe if you combine Lycus and Frosty, you get a woman. I'm trying to do the estrogen math.
If you
definitely have more than a D cup happening.
I'm telling you what you get. If you combine Frosty and Lycus, you get some movie that Raymond Burr stars in Japan. And he points at me and looks, Gamera. That's what you get if you combine those two.
Well, and who else do we have on the weekends over on the station?
Sam Phillips.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to go along with you on that one. She's the cream of the crop.
Right. I actually couldn't be a bigger fan of the show, but I do have some frustration to express with you, Adam.
Go ahead.
I'm actually a huge fan, and I'm one of the listeners that listens from the beginning to the show all the way through to the very end.
God, wow. I love you, man.
Yes. And now my frustration, Adam, is coming with this whole mansion ticket giveaway thing because I have come to learn that when you listen online, you are actually on a bigger delay when you're listening to the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So when you say call in, I got some mansion tickets to give away, I call in, of course, everything is busy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just find that kind
of... Right. Where are you listening?
Oh, most definitely. And
well, no, where? Where are you?
Sorry. I'm in Irvine, actually.
You're in Irvine. Now, why are you listening online?
Yeah.
I just got to work.
I see. Oh. So you listen at work online,
right.
not because you don't get the radio signal, but just because it's easier to listen on your computer.
Well, actually, I work in a pretty big building, and I don't believe I would get a radio signal in here, or else I definitely...
Right. And how far behind are you listening in real time online?
I want to say it's a couple of minutes, because I believe you're 1 minute on the radio, if I'm not mistaken.
Which, by the way, I've never heard of before in my whole life.
Right.
Are we 1 minute delay on the radio?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
For example, I believe when you started giving away the tickets, you put out the question to your audience, what is my middle name? Which, you know, technically is a short question.
Right.
But not really. To the to the regular listener, anyone would know that you actually do not have a middle name from birth.
Uh-huh.
I see. Adolfo?
Yeah, but now you're on a 2 week delay, Adolfo.
No, I know, but I'm actually bringing up a point because you actually do have a middle name, which you mentioned maybe one or two times, which is Lakers.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
And wow. I was extremely frustrated that day because I was like, they are wrong, and that is not the right answer.
Adolfo,
okay, time has passed.
I need a favor, Adolfo. It's me, Danny. Yes, I need a favor from you.
Yes, Danny.
Because you're really interesting, compelling, and correct as far as I'm concerned.
Appreciate that.
But you're mad and you don't sound it and you're killing me. If you call up a radio station and say I'm mad, we got a show to do, you should be mad.
Well, I don't want to be one of these guys that calls in and just makes an a-hole out of himself.
No, you same words, just with a little more excitement. It's like, you know, right. I'm online, dude.
Right.
I'm a minute behind. I know your middle name's Lakers. Why is that fair?
Right.
That's what I want to hear. Wake us up. We need some cappuccino.
Well, right. I need a solution, Adam. I need to figure out what I can do because the same thing happened to me last year. I've been listening for well over a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing happened last year.
All right.
We're having everyone do it.
Adolfo,
this.
I'll tell you what. We can settle this in person Thursday night.
Oh.
What?
Wow.
Just like that?
No,
that's
right. He means on a street corner.
I'm coming over to your crappy house. And no, you're coming. I like your moxie.
Yeah, me too.
I do too.
I like your jib. I like the cut of it. No, he's right. He came up with my second middle name.
Yeah.
Well, it's on my license.
Yeah, I remember now, but I didn't have it when that guy called in and you said, what's my middle name? And I went, he doesn't have one.
Adolfo, what do you do in that big old office building?
I'm actually an underwriter for an insurance company.
Ah, that's where you get the gift of gab. Those guys charm the pants right off you.
Wow.
Everybody charms the pants.
Hi, ma'am. Would you like a drink? This is a fine establishment. Would you not agree?
Adolfo, do you have a costume?
I'm a Virgo. What's your sign, ma'am?
Gemini?
I could tell.
How?
You have a split personality, as do I. I have boring and lethargic.
That's why I'm on a split right now.
I have a custom van in the parking lot. Would you like to adjourn to it and make sweet love with me?
I don't think so, Adolfo.
Come on, baby. Don't be uptight.
I'm not uptight. I just met you.
Hey, bitch. I spent $9 on that drink. How about you put out?
Security?
That's the way to get him.
That's how Adolfo operates. Adolfo?
Yes, sir.
All right, buddy. Former military?
No, actually.
You sound like you have that... Former military guys have that military thing where they go, yes, sir, yes,
right.
ma'am, and they go...
It's just common courtesy.
They go, I was putting fuel in my vehicle, and it's like, oh, you mean you're putting gas in your car? Yes, sir, yes, ma'am, I was refueling my vehicle.
Was it the three-way that you ruined for me where she kept saying negative, and that would be, that's a big negative right there.
The freeway that was ruined for you.
Three-way. Whatever.
Yes.
I mean, if you ruined my three-way on the freeway, it would still be ruined. It would just be ruined slower.
Three-way. Yes. I do apologize for that. Adolfo?
Thank you. Yes, sir.
I'm going to put you on hold.
Thank you very much.
Hey, great job, dude. I've never seen that done before. Excellent
Looking
work.
Looking forward to meeting you, Adolfo. You sound very polite.
I've met you a couple of times, Teresa.
Okay, here we go.
I've undressed you many times in my dreams.
That's cool.
Where have we met?
In my bathroom.
Camacho's?
I have pictures. That's the name of my bathroom. It's Camacho's. I currently have a headshot of you, except for I use an eraser to white out your eyes.
All right, now see.
And I put a couple of ripe stickers where they were.
If a guy admitted that... If
used to hold a punch where your mouth was.
And he's
not well endowed.
I'm a big fan of yours, and he said, really? Do you ever, like, think about me at night making some kind of joke that I would probably make? And he said, actually, yeah, I have. Would that freak you out too much?
I'd be very flattered.
So would I.
Yeah. I bought you a tequila at the bar, Camacho's, when the Raiders were only down 48 points. It was the first quarter.
I remember that.
We were putting a jacuzzi up on our roof, and my neighbor is gay, and I didn't know at first, although he doesn't seem to hide it. And what's her face? Amy goes, but what if I wanted to be naked up here? And he looks her up and down and goes, I'm sorry, baby. I just wouldn't care. And I look at him and I go, hey, dude, I work out. What if I want to be naked up here? And he looks her up and down and he goes, oh, I'd be interested in that. And I went, okay.
That would turn me on.
I go, yeah. I go, we're cool. Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
I'm such a hot ball of passion for you right now,
You've
Teresa.
Gone wild, dude.
I'm a supernova of passion.
Wow.
I'm going to explode with passion.
That's the thing about insurance underwriters. They're wild.
I want to go home and do crazy things to you, like make love to you in a missionary position with my pants on.
Talk about balloon payments.
A bit of a stretch.
I got a little balloon deposit to make on your balloon belly.
Does your balloon deposit have a reservoir tip?
All right.
Nice. I don't know where I've met the man.
Adolfo, hang on. You're going to get to re-meet Teresa. Let's see. Well, we have a lot of ideas, a lot of people calling up. I want to talk to a lot of them, so hang on, everybody. The other, though, is Bald Brian.
Ah. Yeah, it's not polite to pay things off when you bring it up on the radio.
No. I was going to bring up Bald Brian, and I'm going to bring it up again.
Who?
Talking on the looking, I should say, on the web chat, whatever the hell we have, the message board. A lot of people want to know where Bald Brian gets his cat-like quickness. How does it work? It must be preloaded. How does he pull this off? How does he know? And people speculate. Well, they talk about what they're going to talk about, and Bald Brian preloads his drops. Because there's no other explanation for how fast he is at times.
But how is he supposed to know ahead of time what we're going to discuss when we don't know?
I have guesses.
That's a decent point. Like, I thought we were going to talk about Bald Brian, and we didn't.
I've got guesses.
Right.
Right.
My guess is his memory, that he's memorized those buttons, and that if we bring up a certain area, he gets to that area fast, and then when we narrow it down to a subject, he's in a much smaller confine of sounds.
Mundo.
See, like that.
Mm-hmm.
That needed a yes or no answer. Like, wrong would have worked, too.
Mm-hmm.
But
interesting.
It's still so I've worked with guys that tried it, and nobody can do it like Bald Brian. I've never seen it.
Well, hang on, everybody, because I will get to the bottom of Bald Brian. I want to know how he does what he does, and we will tell you what goes on behind the scenes around here.
He's gay!
Also, he just
fun of himself.
Played a clip of Thank You Very Much, which is from a movie called Defending Your Life, which
is an
Albert Brooks movie, which is a great movie, which happened to be on yesterday, or I should say last night. I watched it. All right, we'll take a quick break. Back with your calls and an explanation and maybe a peek behind the curtain of Bald Brian's greatness.
This is the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. With his professional critique of this morning's show, here's our program director, Jack Silver.
I put the lay in Playboy in the Man in Mansion, peeps. Today, Saturday Night Live alum Kevin Nealon from L.A. Law and Dirty Sexy Money, Blair Underwood. He's a black guy. And if you're a chick who can booze like a champ, you can win tickets to Blotto in the Grotto at the Playboy Mansion. Just submit a standard application addressed to me, complete with a full body shot, clothing discouraged, and a legal waiver indemnifying me, John Tiberius Silver, from the legal repercussions of placing you in my spank bank. P.S. No fat chicks. P.P.S. Okay, one or two fat chicks.
Thank you, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Yes, it is. Here comes Teresa Strasser and Danny Bonadibone back into the studio. All right, now we have some good calls here. When we left off, though, I wanted to ask Bald Brian how he does it. Now,
I'm gay.
Let me be very honest with everybody about what goes on this radio show as far as pre-planning and pre-whatever goes. Right. I show up moments before the show starts, and that's when we start. After, when I say moments, I mean seconds before the show starts, and that's when we start.
If I just add to that the yes. tiniest bit, at first, I thought you did it to look cool, because I didn't know that, because you're so different from me, that you have absolutely no interest in looking cool, mm-hmm. and that it's just not your thing. Mm-hmm. I swear, I thought you, like, hid somewhere really close by with, like, a Walkman or something in your ear, mm. and when you'd hear your theme song, you'd put it in your pocket and casually walk around the corner, like, oh, yeah, I just got this kind of timing, and I'm this good. But I swear to God, kids, we'll hear a theme, and we'll just be staring at each other like, well, there's going to be a problem with the Corolla show, as in, no Corolla. And then he walks around the corner. It's amazing.
I do hide in a place nearby. It's called my bed. And I hide there until the last second.
Nobody. I hide there.
So we don't discuss what we're going to discuss on the show before the show starts.
Which is really smart, I think.
I oftentimes have an idea or two about something I want to discuss that I think about when I'm walking in. A little slice of life, something I did yesterday or saw on the TV or heard on the radio on the way in. But sometimes we go there and sometimes we don't. That's before the show. After the show, we discuss who's going to be on the following day and some of the things we might want to do. Do we want to do what can Adam complain about? Well, I don't know. It's been a week or it's been 3 days. That's too soon. Well, we did it last week. What day did we do it last week? We did it on Tuesday. Oh, well, it's Wednesday. So let's try it again. It's been a week. We have little conversations like that. What are we going to do at the Playboy Mansion? That kind of thing. That's takes about 20 minutes, and then we go home. It's about as far as it goes in the pre-planning department. Now, Bald Brian, I assume, because I've heard him, works with Teresa when it comes to playing drops for the news. The discussions we have with Bald Brian are surrounding things like the news and Music Monday and some of the CNN bits and things right. I want to break down where we discuss the drops he has to play. Those are pre-discussed, pre-planned, premeditated. The drops that he does during the course of the show are all his own. He has no idea what we're going to talk about, and
you
if you listen,
earned your pay right now.
If you listen to the show, he couldn't possibly know what direction the show is going. The reason I know he doesn't know is because I don't know. Right.
I think my favorite was when we were talking about, I think someone was calling in, or maybe it was after your wife had the babies, Adam, and we were talking about getting a C-section versus like when you have a vaginal birth and things get ripped. Yes! He played this.
See?
And it took me a minute to figure out why he was playing it.
Because he's a friggin' genius.
Let's see.
What he does. I think that makes him a savant.
Oh, Torn.
Right.
Play Torn. That's right.
That was delightful,
Natalie
Brian.
Brulica. Yeah, he's good, and he's fast, and he's smart, and he listens, and he's lucid, and it's all him. He's mastered the technology. Now he's playing some sort of instant replay 360 machine that has how many possibilities, Bald Brian?
They supplied me with two, each of which holds 999 individual drops, so 2,000 drops, potentially. Right now I've got about 1,200.
1,200.
Wow. Well,
really?
That's just the drops. The news clips and songs are completely separate.
Right. Now, how do you remember where all these ones are? Just repetition?
That's just luck. I mean, luckily.
But you haven't played Torn in a long time.
Well, that's out of a separate thing altogether. All the music is all together
Jesus
separate.
Christ.
Here's the thing. It's one of the. It's a thing that I thought would never come in handy. My just crazy memory. I didn't know what all these drops are called.
I am hell-bent on getting you paid this year, Bald Brian.
You know what else he does recently that he didn't used to do is the instant drop, like when Carl Weathers was here.
Oh, I love that.
We got one of my new faves.
Yeah, and we were playing it while he was here in
not
real time.
Interested.
It took me forever to get that. Yeah, just in case the listeners want to know, that I can record the show, the one-minute delay that goes out live at any time. I just have to time it right. And if I hear something fantastic, usually from Adam, Danny, Teresa, but sometimes from people like Carl Weathers, I can record it and play it back in the course of a couple minutes.
Good golly. I must say, I could never do what Bald Brian is doing, and that's why I'm in awe. His baldness and
rich.
His brilliance.
But, you know, eventually, they won't need us. If we're on the air for 3 years...
Play something good.
Really. I would assume that he could come in the night before the Danny Bonaducci show and do something brilliant like that.
Mm-hmm.
And just get rid of you two and get you off my back. I'm so tired of carrying you. No, but I mean, seriously, we'll probably have said... I said this once to my wife, that I said... I've said every word I'm ever going to say to you. And I said it in anger, and then I realized, you know, that's probably true. Mm-hmm. You have a very limited vocabulary in your own home to your own wife.
That's
every
a
big
day.
Bitch. Mm-hmm. That would be one right there. Mm-hmm. So I realized that that's kind of interesting. If I said every word, unless I'm going to go look one up and say it on purpose, that I'm ever going to say to this woman.
That was on their honeymoon.
Strategery.
After, yeah, and they were, I'm done. Yeah. But after, say, 3 years, don't you think he could build bits and pieces and make new shows for at least another 3 years?
Look. We don't even need to be here right now. Forget
I'm
about 3
sure.
years from now.
I'm not sure we
virtual,
are here right now.
Virtual
Adam.
Mm-hmm.
You had it, didn't you? You had it already, didn't you?
We figured this out a long time ago by just about 5 or 6 simple phrases. I don't know if Paul Bryan has them, but I could answer any question. Wait, hold on a second. Okay, play all you need to know from me in order to get through an entire show.
All right, he's a big boy. That's why you get the big bucks. I don't know about that. What are you going to do? Let the baby have his bottle.
Those are all from Loveline?
We figured out when I was doing Loveline that with he's a big boy and that's why you get the big bucks and let the baby have his bottle and this sort of ambiguous, I don't know about that. I could get through an entire night.
Let's talk to Rich on line 6 and let Cyber Adam talk to him.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see what we can do. Rich?
Hi, peeps. Great show.
He's a big boy.
Hey, I think what happens is you guys are on a 5-second time delay.
I don't know about that.
And then that gives him 5 seconds to come up with his magic on his Hot 9000.
That's why you get the big
And
box.
I have a Bonaducci story.
What are you going to do? Let the baby have his bottle.
Hey, do you guys know how Bonaducci carries 4 shot glasses in each hand?
I don't know about that.
He holds them with his fingers dipped into the shot glasses and gives them to his fans. I'm one of them.
Oh, sorry.
I know we saw that coming.
I'm serious. That's how he did it. I was at La Brea at a Mexican restaurant.
Well, what is he, your bartender, your valet?
No,
he was great. We were standing in line to get into the restaurant to see him on his last show, and he burst through the doors with 4 shot glasses in each hand.
Here's $10. Never call the show again.
Look at gift horse in the shot glass.
Dude, I'm weird about people that either pay to see me or choose to listen to us rather than somebody else. I, like, build altars to them. If all they want is drinks, I'm buying anytime.
Finger-flavored altars. Can we move forward?
I wouldn't worry. It's only one or two.
Cuticle-soaked altars.
Yeah, it's only one or two of his digits that are bleeding at any one time.
Yeah.
3 today.
And by the way, that blood is not from his fingers. Probably because he scratched something that had blood on it. All right, Rich. Good times.
Or hit a junkie in the teeth. That is always scary.
Yeah, so anyway, all hail Bald Brian.
All hail.
And by the way, this Bald guy's Brian. 5-second delay thing, that was bogus.
But even if that were true, he's got 5 seconds to have a response from a machine that holds thousands of possible responses. That's still, imagine having 5 seconds and picking the appropriate one.
Also, what people should know, and then Bald Brian can defend himself or explain himself.
Or just go the hell away.
Look, if you hear something you like, fantastic, that's because one of us said it, not because somebody fed us a joke. If you hear something you like from Bald Brian, fantastic. That's because he came up with it in real time, not because of a delay, not because of a preconceived or pre-discussed idea. It's all real time. There's no joke writers in here. We have a writer. The writer, Mike Lynch, is not in this room. The writer is in the other room with Dawson. That and, you know, working on promos and Playboy Mansion stuff and Rich Banks screwball songs and that, all that kind
There's
of stuff.
There's a new one coming up, by the way. Apparently it's fantastic.
In the Grotto?
Yes.
Oh, good times.
It's excellent.
Good times. The point is we have a show writer. What he's doing is writing. He's not in this room, and he's not handing Bald Brian notes, and he's not handing me notes or anyone else.
Maybe I misunderstand because this is a 4-hour talk show. So, has anybody ever seen, like, Limbaugh's talk show on television or what's that old dude that...
Well, who's the way, Chubby?
Imus?
Yeah. You ever seen the stacks of paper and everything by them so they know what's going to happen next?
Right.
On 4 hours of talk, we have 25 words written on a piece of paper of things we may talk about, and I would guess we don't get to 2/3 of them.
Right. right.
That's 25 words of what we might talk about in the next 4 hours, and I'll bet we don't get to at least half.
Producer Angie makes a general show rundown. As a matter of fact,
what we lied to her about the day before that we're going to talk about.
Right.
I'm drunk.
We should probably put that on the website if people want to know what we look
what
at.
Would
what,
have been.
What,
our,
what would have
oh,
been.
What would have been.
Yeah.
The people, unless they stiff us, the people you can count on, like Carl Weathers. If this is Carl Weathers and he shows up, that's one thing. But if it says, what can Adam complain about, and Adam instead starts a story that he finds interesting and I respond the way he likes and then he starts talking to you, what can Adam complain about might just vanish and not be on the show till tomorrow.
Well, I don't think we've ever done what can Adam complain about. What can't
right.
Adam complain about?
If I said can, I just misspoke.
We've done
I,
many
I'm
times.
Pretty much aware of the bit, buddy.
I'm sorry. I'm just, you know, it's a weird thing on radio because you say 200,000 words a morning and one's bound to come out sideways. And sometimes you want to jump in and then other times you think, I know what the person was talking about. And then you think, well, maybe someone's driving their car and they don't.
All right. The way to answer that is this way. What can't Adam complain about? I cannot imagine in a million years. What can Adam complain about? Anything, anytime, anywhere. That's right. How I know the difference.
Scott?
Yes.
How say you, my brother?
Not much, Ace man. I just good morning, everybody. I just wanted Hi. To find out what's going on with the hammer. I saw it at Tribeca. You were very gracious. You signed my Man Show DVD in line. You probably don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
But the movie was very good, and I wondered when it's coming out. When can we see it?
Why were you in Tribeca?
I work in the industry, and which is, leads me to my... I wanted to plug my movie, which comes out today, but first I wanted to hear about The Hammer.
Ah, I see how you work. You have a movie because you did what on the movie?
I directed it, produced it, and starred in it, and it comes out today from Think Film. It's in Walmart. It's in Best Buy. It's in Borders.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Gag. It's a horror movie. It's a gritty indie horror movie. It's not as good as The Hammer, but it's a different kind of movie.
So, and it comes out in all these stores, so it's going...
straight to DVD.
Straight to DVD, yeah.
Straight to DVD, which probably doesn't have the stigma that it used to.
No, not when you're at Walmart.
No, yeah. Not if you can get into all those major chains. So the question was, when is my movie coming out or what's going on with it? Or both?
Both. When is it coming out and what's going on with it?
It's coming out early February.
Cool.
And you'll be able to see it. Well, Scott, you've already seen it, but I'm glad you enjoyed it.
It was great.
Your really movie will too. Be released theatrically.
Right. In early February.
Well, come on, Ace Man. You had John Sloss from Cinetic working on it. I was at your little rap party. I snuck into that, too.
That's huh?
That's another story.
Well, what do you mean?
I snuck into your little rap party. Actually, I snuck into your rap party as you, believe it or not, at the door.
I don't know about that.
What's that?
You told the doorman that you were
I know,
were
but
Adam.
What does John Sloss from Phonetic have to do with it?
Well, he's the Coca-Cola. He's the McDonald's of independent films. I mean, you get John Sloss. I pitched him. I actually met with him for Gag.
He didn't get the film distributed.
He didn't?
No.
Did he help? I mean,
really. He's kind of crappy at what he does. Quite
really?
Honestly, yes, I never liked the guy.
He was, well, it's funny because he has the reputation of being the absolute end-all, be-all ball buster of...
In the independent film world is a really effed up little tight-knit...
Oh, are you? Who are you telling, man?
It is horrible community where people think they're doing you a favor by repping your little cute film and they manage your expectations by constantly telling you how there's no chance it's ever going to work out. I was very disappointed in him. He did almost nothing for us.
Well, you know, it's funny. I believe it too, but
all right.
Independent film is like an incestuous little eat their young community. You're absolutely right. It's the most.
It's a tight-knit group that does not like outsiders coming in, especially clods from the Man Show doing their independent films and getting into their little world.
What are you going to do?
Yes.
Well, listen.
And he didn't know. We are, and when I say we, I mean basically me, are distributing this film ourselves.
Yeah, I know the feeling. Listen, this is the biggest plug I've got for my movie.
Wait, hold on. 10 seconds ago, I had an in because we had the biggest name in independent films not doing anything on our film.
Right. Let the baby have his bottle.
Now he feels my pain. Hey, Scott?
Yes.
Yes, John Sloss did next to nothing on our film.
It almost feels like an Ask His Rodeo segment.
This is the biggest plug I've got for my movie, and I've been clawing for two and a half years trying to get anybody and everybody. There's little tiny things on the internet.
Well, you got the thing. You got the thing released. It's going to be. I mean, it's not released, but it's at Walmart and places like that.
Yeah, the movie's called Gag, and the website is gagthemovie.com.
But more about how much you loved Adam's movie, yeah, Scott. I mean, what did you think of his acting of the script?
I should have known.
Ace Man, you need to know. I snuck into your party as you. You were right behind me. The guy said, "What's your name?" I said, "The only name I could think of was yours." I said, "Adam Carolla." And as I'm walking in, I hear you behind me going, "Carolla." And the guy's thinking to himself, "I just let somebody in who said he was Adam Carolla." True story.
This guy did a wonderful job.
This guy can weave a yarn.
Ace Man, I got one more fast question for you.
Oh, my God.
Do you want to? I have a little environmental organization called the Hollywood Green Team. It's HollywoodGreenTeam.org. Mm-hmm. I've got Ed Begley. I've got the Sundance Channel.
I got a little group called the Hollywood Bore Corps.
Oh, yeah.
And hotline's ringing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You don't want to join the Hollywood Green Team?
No.
Come on. You got the Corolla. You got the Corolla. What's it called? The Corolla.
I don't even care. Look,
I'll tell you one thing that cannot be recycled would be this call.
That's
you know how
right.
We do the best of in the morning?
That's right.
That's recycling, and this ain't making it.
Yeah.
Sorry, buddy. I appreciate you and everything, but you're done.
We're sponsoring that snooze cruise.
The Green Team sponsoring the snooze cruise. All right. Yeah, the movie's coming out in February for those who are interested.
That's exciting.
It is. I'll keep everyone posted. We'll take ourselves a break. Ah, Thursday night, we're going to be at the Playboy Mansion, and guess what? We got a couple of tickets to give away. Now, here's what we're looking for. We're putting together the ace team. We got the guy with the big head. We got the short guy with the red hair. We got the chick with the big nose. What about producer Angie? Who's going to get sloppy drunk like producer Angie?
She tasted like champagne.
You want somebody who will make Angie look like a responsible drinker.
When we take that group photo, I need to see a lampshade just to Angie's right to see someone who's actually won't be able to see the lampshade because the skirt will be pulled up right over the lampshade. You'll see the top of the lampshade and the fringe of the skirt as it's pulled up, the hem of the skirt as it pulled up over the lampshade.
Seriously, you are an alcoholic.
That sloppy drunk. Now, here's how it works. Ladies, I know you got pictures of you drunk. How do I know? Because every single time someone wins Miss Teen USA or the Miss Nevada competition, it takes about 3 weeks before pictures start pouring in of her sloppy drunk at a frat party making out with a chick.
Right.
How do you know if you're drunk in the picture? Oh, I know when I'm looking at a drunk person.
You can just tell.
And sometimes you can just tell by what they look like. Other times you can tell by what they're doing to that banana.
Right.
Now.
That's what I'm saying.
I disagree. You do not have to be drunk to do that to a banana.
The point is.
It's to be entertaining.
You give us a call. I want to hear about your super sloppy drunk pictures, but you're going to have to back it up.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You're going to have to send them to AdamCarolla.com. We'll peruse them, and whoever the partiest of the party pals, whoever looks the drunkest and has the best sloppy revealing pictures. And look, if you want to do one right now,
we'll take it.
If you want to try to fool us, try to fool us. Sure. I don't care if the picture looks like you're drunk, and I think we can tell a goof from a actual sloppy drunken picture. But if you want to submit it to AdamCarolla.com and it looks good, and it's not the one you keep in your photo album, it's the one you keep in the shoebox that's underneath the photo album up top of the closet.
Another option.
Hmm.
Call a friend who lives maybe 20 minutes away right now. Tell them how bad you want to go. And tell them to start driving to your house right now. Just start chugging this second. As much as you can possibly drink without hurting yourselves in any way, shape, or form. And just be actually wasted by 7:15, 7:30 this morning. Take the picture and send it in right now. That's actually be great.
You
put today's paper in it.
Right.
To prove you just got truly wasted just this second.
And if you show nudity, we'll put little stars over your nips.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Like, do you know they only use like 2 points of a star to cover my wiener? You know how embarrassing that is.
We'll take ourselves a break. Be
Call's
back with
already
that.
In.
I'll be back with that next.
Paula Show went to the Playboy Mansion for Blotto in the Grotto. This year, Adam wants to assemble a crew of crack party commandos. So if you're a party veteran and you want to crash the Playboy Mansion, call 866-901-ADAM and maybe you can join the Ace Team.
Well, looking for the Ace Team, we need a drunken chick. And again, it's all based on this. Are you really fat if there's a fatter person standing next to you in a picture? Are you stupid if there's a guy next to you who is wearing a hockey jersey and a wind-up beanie? You know what I mean? As long as there's someone who's worse off than you or more of whatever people think you are next to you in the picture, then you're not the fat one in the picture.
Sure.
Or the one with the big nose or the short one or anything. Yes.
If a guy 6'4" is in a wheelchair because of an accident, am I taller than he is?
If people can do the torso math, no.
If my head comes up higher than his, because he can't get taller than that.
Yeah, but if we do that kind of, what you don't want is people doing math and deductions. They want an actual shorter guy than you.
Oh, no, this was a personal request. I just want to be taller than some guy that got maimed in an accident.
Yeah.
I just want some guy 6'4" to be hurt because he's 6'4" and I hate him.
Oh, I see.
Danny hates anybody over 6 feet.
Hit his head on a bridge overpass because he drives with his head out of the sunroof of his car.
I think anybody over 6'2" is just doing it to show off, and anybody over 6'4" is doing it because they hate me.
Well, we need a drunken chick. We have a short chick for, I should say, short dude.
Short dude for me.
For Danny, and a chick with a big schnoz for T, and a guy with a big head for me. But what about producer Angie? She's going to want in on these pictures. We need a sloppy, drunken chick.
Drunk. I'm drunk.
Melinda?
Yes?
Are you drunk?
I can be.
Do you have any pictures of yourself on vacation, sorority pictures, things like that?
I have a picture with you in Fresno where it's quite visible that I'm heavily intoxicated.
Is this when I was in Fresno about 6 months ago?
Yes. I almost got killed, but yeah, I went.
Yes. I remember it well. It was Friday the 13th. Ah, it was like it was yesterday. Beautiful, picturesque Fresno. It's Friday the 13th, directly after the show. Me and Bald Brian took a prop plane up to Fresno.
Did you really?
Nothing better than flying on Friday the 13th. The only thing better than flying on Friday the 13th is flying the puddle jumper.
And into Fresno.
On Friday the 13th. Good people, good times over there. You were one of the chicks that was at the bar I went to?
I was. I had corn nuts for some strange reason. I don't know if you remember. I had barbecued corn nuts. I gave you a bag of them. I don't know exactly why.
I ate them. Was the big one?
Yes, it was.
Did you hear the problem already, Adam? She asked you if you remember. If she remembers, and it's not the picture that reminds her, she's not drunk enough.
Melinda, what's your drink of choice?
Sierra Nevada.
Sierra Nevada.
Yeah, that is my beer.
It's a good brewski.
Yeah, it's a nice beer. It's a nice chaser for a real drinker.
Not when you buy it by the case, Danny.
That's what I like. Big and drunk.
How many cases do you go through?
100 pounds. I hit Costco about once a week and get a case. And usually I hit the store right in between and pick up a sixer here and there. So
hey, Melinda?
Damage on my own, yes.
Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you take that picture of me and you? And why don't you send it over to AdamCarolla.com? And if you look drunk, again, I'll award some bonus points for having me in the picture or Mel Gibson in the picture. Maybe Mel Gibson's sloppy drunk and you're stone cold sober. Whatever you think's going to work, we'll take a look.
I got hammered.
I'm just trying to do that. I'm just a techno person, so I don't have the little thing for the phone that you hook in the computer, but I will get it.
I'll tell you what. Well, Melinda, you figure it out. Work with, you have any Asian friends?
I could find one probably down
really?
The road on the way down.
One Asian guy in Fresno?
I'm sure it wouldn't be too hard to find one.
Find someone who is tech savvy and have them hold your hand through this very delicate process. Candace?
Yeah.
What's going on with you, baby girl?
Not a whole lot. Driving to work this morning.
You got some nice drunken sloppy pictures for us?
Quite possibly.
Mm-hmm. What do you have?
Sorority pictures.
Where did you go to school?
I'm afraid to say.
Good. That's a good sign.
Here in Los Angeles?
Yes.
Is there anything in the picture touching your body in any way, shape, or form that is not actually part of your body, like made of plastic and run by batteries or a banana or a hat, anything.
I'm sure if I
just want to let her off the hook.
I
should
find something.
I see. What sorority were you in?
I don't think I should say that.
Listen, I can tell an 80 pie from 1,000 yards.
Well, then there you go.
Yeah.
Come on!
She clearly sounds like a tri-delt. Candace, what's your drink of choice?
It's a good question.
Any drunk can answer that.
That's goodbye. No, ask
me. Well, it depends on the situation. If
Danny,
I'm at a bar,
what's your drink of choice?
Gasoline, if that's all there is.
Mm-hmm.
Mouthwash.
Okay. The alcohol content of mouthwash is nothing. I've drunk whole bottles.
Hey, Candace?
Yes, Adam.
Do you have some pictures?
I do have some pictures.
All right. Can you go to adamcarolla.com and submit them?
Sure.
All right. Well, if they work out and you work out, then we'll see you Thursday night.
Well, can I ask Candy a question before she goes? It seems like the latest with the sorority girls drunk is the girl-on-girl pictures. Do you have those?
No, I'm not a big fan of the girl-on-girl pictures.
Mm. I wish you weren't a liar.
Mm. Sorry.
Yeah.
No. I got to cut you loose. Look, here's...
I need to be drunk to deal with her.
Let me explain what girl-on-girl is and how that works. Sometimes... You ever go to a dinner party and there's like a precocious 9-year-old and the precocious 9-year-old comes into the room and says something cute and everyone looks at them and laughs and all of a sudden the kid realizes he has everyone's attention and everyone's looking and everyone's smiling and everyone is focusing on them. It took girls a few hundred years to figure this one out, maybe a few million years to figure this out. But somebody finally said, look, we could be the hottest looking chick here. Or we could learn to play the cello real well. Or I could just take another chick who may not be the hottest looking chick here. And she's a 5 and I'm a 5. But together we're 10. And all we need to do is we don't have to go take lessons. And we don't have to do any concertos or recitals. All we need to do is slam a few Sierra Nevadas and start making out. And we will be the hit of the party. And... couple girls started making out. Every dude in the place went like, oh, my God. And they became like the 9-year-old at the dinner party who realizes, ooh, I'm on to something here. And then it spread like wildfire.
You know what I'm afraid of? I'm afraid that our standards, because, you know, you've got skills and you're a really together guy, that the bar we have set is so different. Now, if you see two girls making out, that is cool. And I still think it's cool. But if... if I were to see your picture, one of you should look like Abraham Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If you follow my drift there, there should be one face completely left and alone and another face with a full beard.
But...
Uh-oh.
Oh, I see.
Do we have time to talk to Hope on line 8?
Mm. There's no Hope.
I like the sound of her.
Honest Hebe is the name of T's feet. Thank you.
It's been emancipated.
By Batman. Hope.
Yes.
What's going on with you? Cute, single, sloppy drunk?
Yes, all of the above.
3 for 3.
You have to be cute with that name.
Mm-hmm.
I have made out with girls before, too.
Sure. You get the attention from the boys. Do you have any good pictures of yourself?
On MySpace, I do.
Can you pick out the sloppiest, drunkest picture and send it to adamcarolla.com?
I will do that.
Please. It's imperative. And yes, I've not met an old, fat Hope.
No, impossible. No. Hopes
There's only
are hot.
Young, attractive Hopes.
Or dead.
Yes, Hope?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I need to send the picture. What else?
Describe yourself, Hope.
I'm about 5'9". I do yoga. I also do the F Factor classes, the pole dancing classes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Those are great for your body.
Yeah,
exactly,
yeah.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the stage, Hope. Hope she drops her panties. I got a pole for you to dance on. Start your mouth. Quit your grin and drop your lid. Change stage 5, stage 5. She's petite. She's sloppy drunk. She's young. That's 3 for 3 in the East Man's book. She gives us all the hoop.
Maybe not.
Where was it?
Hey, Hope, when you go to those stripper classes, do you see any celebrities in there?
I haven't yet, but there's a lot of cute girls in there, that's for sure.
Mm. Now, are you bi?
No, I haven't gone all the way with a girl yet, but... Mm-hmm.
Now, what exactly would all the way be with a girl?
Oral sex.
Is that all the way?
Abe Lincoln.
Yes. Yeah, I haven't done that yet.
Okay, right. Somebody gave me something at one of our sponsors. I think it might have been the Hustler store when I did that appearance. They gave me a box full of stuff. And one just seems so stupid. But it would be no way in girl world you could go no further.
Mm-hmm.
It had...
Umbrella?
Remember the headgear kids used to have to wear with braces?
What's that? Headgear.
And it held the top of their head, the back of their head.
Mm-hmm.
And that went down to a really tight chin strap. Mm-hmm. That was a big fake weird.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've seen those.
So
seen
that could go with that.
Mm. I had to wear one of those for... I had TMJ
now
in
that's...
junior high, and I had to wear one of those for two semesters. I said, Dad, really, do we need the huge fake wang hanging off the front of my headset? And he said, look, they offered us a deal over at the Pleasure Chest. And I said, but for orthodonture, Dad, or should we need... Look, I was at the Pleasure Chest, so back off, and he just threw it at me.
Oh, great.
And he said, you can wear it at night. Or you can wear it to school. And I just said, well, I'm wearing it to school. And that's what I did for it was 8th and 9th grade I had to wear. That's right. I was ridiculed, but I think it made me tougher.
You know, some things embarrass you and some things make you stronger.
Right.
We hired this lady to help us move, not an elderly lady, but a grown up. And she opened one of this box and she asked, and this is just the politest title I can think of. She said, where do you want barely legal 27?
Mm-hmm.
And it had pictures on it and stuff. And there's this cleaning lady in an apron, and she wants to, and there's tons of them. And they go by the chin strap and the ones with the batteries and the butterflies on them and stuff.
Well,
Everybody pick a spot. Tell her.
Every barely legal should be 17 and a half.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very smart.
Because eventually they're going to be barely legal 53.
Yeah.
And it's going to be, huh?
Oh, no.
You still talked me out of a three-way with a 53-year-old.
Hope, are you barely legal? How old are you and what do you do?
Okay, I'm 30.
Mm-hmm.
And I work in the fashion industry.
Goodbye.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Hope.
Yes.
Get one of those pictures off your MySpace, Dilly Whacker, and send it over to the Adam Carolla page, and then we'll vote. All right?
All right. Sounds good.
Good times. I like that fashion industry.
I know.
All right. We need to take ourselves a break. Tea.
Yep.
What we're going to do with this is, again, if you're a chick and you have pictures of yourself super sloppy drunk, you send it to AdamCarolla.com. We'll take a look, just like we did with T's Big Schnoz.
Yeah,
we'll pick
a
winner, and we'll see you Thursday night. What's in the news, Big Nose? News?
Oh, well, a few things. One, I don't know if you saw Dancing with the Stars last night. It was a phenomenal, phenomenal episode. Maria Osmond went down.
Wearing the headset?
Not in an Abe Lincoln way.
Do you know that Donnie Osmond's never had a ever?
We'll get to that. And
we will. He'll be so happy.
This is a famous actor who went on Inside the Actor's Studio doing a little Al Pacino.
They're really f***ing this up pretty bad.
More from him later.
We'll take ourselves a quick break. Be back with the news next.
This is the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaduce, and Teresa Strasser. On the way this morning, your chance to win tickets to Blotto in the Grotto, Thursday night at the Playboy Mansion.
Hugh Hefner told me as a young man he was forced to beat off the charcoal drawing of a vagina on a piece of driftwood.
And if you can't join us at the party, catch the mayhem replayed Friday morning.
Where's my phone, you fat ass?
From Dirty Sexy Money, we'll talk to Blair Underwood. Saturday Night Live alum Kevin Nealon.
It's fun to be a guest on this show, Torture. You know, it's just a nice show. And it's kind of like a second home to me, Titanic. You know what I mean?
And a little chat with Prisoner David, doing 25 to life in the California State Penal System. Call 866-901-ADAM.
Adam's on the phone.
Broadcast live nationwide. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Good times. T.
Yep.
News, baby girl.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news today.
Fires continue to rage all across Southern California. Today, temperatures are going to be up. Winds are going to be more explosive. San Diego County alone, at least 250,000 residents were ordered to evacuate. Public schools were closed, as was the campus at the University of California, San Diego, also San Diego State. Qualcomm
Well, the good news is when they evacuated San Diego State, nothing changed as far as learning went. Turns out everyone was in Tijuana getting loaded anyway or filming bootleg porn in the dorm room. So it was just an empty campus when they announced.
An equivalent amount of learning. Qualcomm Stadium in San Diego.
The day the learning stopped. There was nothing going on over there anyway. Maybe UC San Diego, but not San Diego State.
Both evacuated, and now thousands of people at Qualcomm Stadium.
But which one could spell evacuate?
Good point.
I think UC students could spell evacuate.
UC spells evacuate?
UC could put a lot more letters than that. The state, no way. San Diego State, nothing but a party over there. Yeah. I had friends that were accepted into San Diego State. That's about all you need to know.
Yeah.
We would go stay at their dorm rooms, and then we'd make our Tijuana runs.
Okay.
And then we'd come back and throw up in their dorm rooms.
He has friends that weren't accepted into Tijuana, but were accepted into that school. That'll tell you a little something right there.
Easier to get into San Diego State than into Tijuana. Yes, these wildfires are affecting me. They've hit my home front. As per usual, not because I've done anything or need anything, but everyone in my family and everyone else's families come to the Ace Man. What we have going on is my father-in-law lives in Canyon Country.
Yeah, it's on fire up there.
His place is on fire, so he has to come out here to the Sheraton Universal. How does that affect the Ace Man?
You pay.
That's right. My sister and her family live in Topanga Canyon, which is in trouble, and they're going to my Malibu house, which ironically is in Malibu, but it's not on fire. So they're going over there, and God bless them. Now, my sister's family lives in or is building, I don't know if you guys have seen this, the container houses.
Oh, yeah. Are they what I think they are? The miniature houses, but they're nice. They're not like containers, like shipping containers.
They're just
tiny cubed houses with a big window.
They are shipping containers. They are not self-contained. They are containers. Here's how the industry works. Those things you see piled up high on those container ships. Well, they're called container ships because they contain containers. And those things go right off of the ship onto flatbeds of semi-trucks, and you'll see them going down the highway. They're like 40 foot long and 10 foot wide. Somebody figured out those things are bulletproof. And if you take five of them and you stack them up and put them together and cut a couple of window holes, you have a funky container house. The bad news is they're in the middle of a forest fire. The good news is it's like dropping an anvil off in the middle of a forest fire. There's no shake roof. There's no studs. It's just a bunch of steel. So their house may melt if the fire gets too bad, but it's not going to burn. All right. Sorry, T.
Now, some people, including Tori Spelling, celebrities, have been affected, as you have been, Adam. Tori Spelling's bed and breakfast.
We've been affected by Tori Spelling.
Quickly, everyone needs to know this about me. I'm never affected. I'm only affected by other people being affected and what I have to do for them. You see, that's how I'm affected in every way, shape, or form of my life. I never personally am affected by anything, and if I am, you'll never hear about it. I'm only affected in that my dad can't afford his own car and I have to lease him one, or my dad's brother's dying in Philadelphia. How does that affect me? I must pay to fly my dad to Philadelphia and put him up. I'm affected by other people being affected, never affected myself.
Well, you're a cold man if you don't care about Tori Spelling and her husband Dean's inn being evacuated.
Then I'm cold.
You mean in with two N's,
yes.
Love may not make it to a season 3?
Tori and Dean, in with two N's, love.
Did
on
her
oxygen.
Fake boobs melt?
From what I understand, Adam, she was at a taping of Dancing with the Stars while her inn in Temecula was being evacuated. They had a lot on their minds.
Tori Spelling melted during the fire.
And there was nothing left but some
nose cartilage.
Yeah, nose cartilage and a set of caps.
There's an interesting thing right there. If you go to Tori Spelling's, I would often say the lights are on, but nobody's home. And in that case, that's correct. And now she's Dancing with Stars, another word that so does not apply to this woman.
Well, she was in the audience to support her fellow 90210 castmate, Jenny Garth. So they panned over to her. Now, I was watching, I don't miss the show, but I was especially watching last night because, you know, I do that TV guide show and I kept getting all these emails. It's DEFCON 4. You got to watch.
They're in love. The inn, the bed and breakfast.
Right.
is in San Diego.
Temecula.
Temecula, halfway
wine
to San Diego.
Country.
Oh, that direction. Yeah. Yes, right. Wine country.
Right. That's where up north. Pechanga.
Right.
Oh, I was just sort of placing it where the fire was, but now up north is
the
catching on fire.
Fires are everywhere, yeah.
The fires are everywhere. Do you know, oh, by the way, have you seen the pictures of smoke from space? That's so your style?
Yeah.
The satellite photos of the
right.
Yeah, it's a good time.
That's just me.
Tori Spelling was in the audience. She was supporting Jenny Garth.
Yeah.
You know Jenny Garth from 90210.
Yes,
she is competing in Dancing with the Stars. Anyway, started getting emails. It's DEF CON. You got to watch Dancing. Marie Osmond collapsed. I'm thinking, oh, she must have gotten to... It couldn't have been anything dramatic. Sure enough, she goes to do her dance. She does a great job. And then she's standing there with her partner. And it's time for the judging. Now, she did one thing before she went down.
Emil Popper.
Right. No, she started jumping up and down. And she looked extremely enthusiastic. She looked just very caffeinated. Now, she could have, she just finished dancing,
she's
so she could have just been high on endorphins. So she looks excited, and now she stands there to get judged. If you listen carefully, you will actually hear her falling.
Let's go to our head judge first, Len Goodman. What did you think, Len?
Well, you know, for the amateur dancer, for me, this dance, the samba, is the hardest one to master.
I agree.
There's lots of different rhythms going on. You have to do steps on the spot. You have to move around the floor. You've got to get this elusive bounce action going. And, of course, you've got to show the gaiety and the fun of the samba.
That's right.
He's a little bit country.
All right, we're going to take a little bit break. We'll be right back. And we'll be right back after
scary.
This.
Her eyes rolled back, and she just dropped.
You know, the policy of throwing it to commercial during the only interesting part of the show, not a great policy.
They should have kept rolling.
They should run commercials all the way through the dancing and then break in when somebody collapses.
Luckily, they had a great producer on certain reality shows where the blood and guts happen. That's when you get a close-up.
Well, Bergeron handled himself pretty well, although arguably they should have stayed on, Marie.
Everybody else says.
And that's going to be on a Sunday night show. The Fallops and Blooper show.
Oh, yeah, which Bergeron
finally,
also
Finally, Bergeron's
hosts.
Two worlds collide.
America's funniest
America's most bland, never-ending, got-a-job gazillionaire entertainer.
He, she was whipping her head around, and that, I think, is what did it. Because if you saw the dance, I saw it on CNN this morning, she was doing this move where she did that sort of head whip like five times fast. And if you ever want to make yourself fall over, do that whip your head around five times fast and then see if you can get your bearings. I think that's probably what shook her loose.
Now, she did that on last week's show where she did, like, the stripper head.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see it this week, but there were a ton of spins. And, you know, I guess there are just people who are fainters.
You call me a liar?
I'm not calling you a liar.
She did the head whip. Maybe they showed a clip from last week.
I'm thinking they might have showed a clip from last week, but you think they showed this week.
Oh, that's dirty pool because they showed the dance. What dance did she do?
I think it was a samba.
Yeah, no, they said it was a samba.
Yeah.
Maybe there was some head whipping. There was lots of spinning.
The samba is one of the hardest dances to learn, and she said, I agree.
Yeah, she was winded, and I guess as I was saying, some people are just fainters, but she collected herself.
I'm not going for it. I'm saying her brother's name is Donnie Fairplay. I think she's a big faker. My grandmother died, and then I fell over from dancing too hard.
You think she's doing it just for sympathy?
Yep.
Really?
Well, it didn't work.
Let's take a listen to what happened when they came back from commercial.
All right. Okay, welcome back to the show. Just so you know, Marie is fine. You're about to see her backstage as she awaits her scores. And I want to just quote her exactly. She passed out. She fainted, as you saw. And the first words out of her mouth when she saw us all leaning over her were,
"Oh,
crap."
Oh.
So... She is a trooper indeed.
It's always the first words when a chick passes out in front of me when she comes to. What are you doing?
I didn't agree to this.
What's that tripod for?
Dude, having my own place, you don't know how scared I am of that. Meet some girl who seems nice, then the morning she wakes up and go, oh, I didn't want to. Give me $1 million. That's my big fear. Like,
no, it's not your big fear. Really?
It's a fairly big fear, yeah.
You just get her to sign that waiver. You keep
you know,
on your nightstand.
Everybody says that. What a mood breaker. I told you my plan, though, right?
Mm-mm.
I'm going to bug the whole inside of the house with video cameras and just put a plaque on the door like you've seen 100 times walking down the street. If you walk through this area, you will be being videotaped.
Oh, the Chuck Berry
but
plan.
I'm going to put the sign, and they'll just look at it, read it, and hopefully misunderstand it. But it'll say plain as day this house is under video surveillance, both inside and out, at all times. And I hope they read
it. Is it really a concern, though, that
yes,
you're going to meet somebody and have sex with them and they're going to sue you?
You don't live like I live. Yes, it's a seriously good chance that somebody might do something because people will believe stuff about me.
But it doesn't even happen in regular celebrity life that much. I mean, you don't hear about it that much.
People don't play like I play. I go to weird places and meet weird people and bring them to my home.
Yeah, but not weird litigious people, just weird people.
I told you this this probably 10 times. It cost me $80,000 once to prove I never met a girl. I was never in the same state as her.
Hmm.
People just believe stuff about me.
Oh, okay, right. Okay.
You know,
I can see it.
People
right.
can say anything they want about it. I've been provoked just the other day. A guy wanted to fight me so bad, and Amy realized he doesn't want you to fight him. He wants you to hit him.
Ah.
And
he sues you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So that's actually a real fear of mine.
Well, maybe I'm naive. I never seem to run into anything.
You don't go out and pick up chicks with spikes through their head because they're punk rockers.
Hmm?
Bring them home in the morning and hope they're normal.
Touche.
And just go away.
T?
Let's talk about Alec Baldwin.
Same thing. I boned him one night. Thought it was going to be another trouble.
I'll tell you what I think we should do here, T-Bone.
Yeah?
I think we should break this news in half.
Sure.
Because
coffee's for closers.
I know you want to get to Baldwin, and I know you have a few other stories. I have a couple of news-related things I'd like to discuss as well.
I got nothing.
But we're running late. From your mouth to God's ears, Bonaducci.
Yeah, nothing.
We need to take a break. But when we come back, we'll hear from Baldwin, who was on Inside the Actor Studio.
Yes, he was great.
Yeah. He's such a ball of talent, literally turning into a ball of talent. Baldwin. Oh, ball of talent, Baldwin. And what's the next story you have, T-Bone?
Oh, if you'd like a job, I'm not kidding. If you would like a job testing condoms, I will tell you how to get that job.
Mm.
Like in math?
What?
They fired the Super Denim robot. It's a weird reference back to the 70s. It was a robot that used to test reinforced jeans for Sears.
They fired
that robot, and now they're looking for some humans to fill the spot.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a break. Back with the rest of the news next.
As the water swirls, a sloppy drunk girl gets on her knees, and a horny young man gets a disease in the grotto.
In the grotto.
And his penis burns. You need Valtrex to get it right. The downstairs itch he got that night. In the grotto.
In the grotto.
I've never been prouder of Rich Banks.
And Mike Lynch.
And Mike
Joint
Lynch.
Production.
Yes, indeed, indeed. In the grotto. Coming.
You are a blinding, brilliant light from heaven.
This Thursday night will be at the Playboy Mansion. It'll air Friday morning. And guess who's on the phone? Jimmy Kimmel.
Well, how are they supposed to guess if you say it right away?
Oh, yeah. You're right.
Hope you're going to be all specific and stuff.
Take my word for who's on the phone. Jimmy Kimmel, everybody, from New York City.
That's right.
Now,
wow.
Do you see, this is the chemistry people miss.
Wow. Listen, Jimmy's tired. He had to fly back and forth. Yesterday was his first day doing both Live with Regis and Kelly and his own show.
Yes.
Don't blame this on me. I fell asleep listening to that 8-minute parody song of Velvet, you guys.
Oh.
What is this, Mark and Brian?
How
What's
dare
going
you?
On over there?
How dare you?
We wish it was Mark and Brian. Jack Silver wishes it was Mark and Brian.
Seriously.
And Mark and Brian wish it was Mark
and Brian. Mark and Brian wish it was, yes. So give us your schedule, Jimmy. Everyone heard about your crazy schedule where you're going bi-coastal this whole week doing your show from Los Angeles and doing Regis and Kelly from New York. But today's the second day. How are you holding up? Where are you right now? And what is the timeline?
I'm pulling into the airport right now. I'm going to get on the plane, fly back to L.A. I'll get there about 2:30 or so. Yesterday, I touched down, went right to rehearsal as I walked through the door. I didn't go to my office. And then as soon as the show's over, I run right out the door, get on a plane, and head back again. It's miserable.
Are you able to now, as far as the plane goes, it's the ABC corporate jet. It's not Southwest or JetBlue, which is the good news, but it's still a crazy schedule. Are you able to sleep on the plane?
Well, you know me, Adam. You remember? Remember right after 9/11, we got on the plane,
yes.
And I got you all excited. It was like the first flight, the first day of flying after 9/11. Everybody was on edge, especially me. And I gave Adam. What did I tell you? Like, if there's any trouble,
you told me you were going to be part. Here's what you're going to be. Like, you were going to be like a lifeguard at a public pool, a middle linebacker, and Chuck Norris all blended into one, sitting in
exactly.
first class, head on a swivel.
We are going. You and I are going to be like the A team. We're going in. If there's any trouble, we're not even going to wait a second. We're going to pounce,
yes,
even
sir.
If it means our own death.
Last line of defense, he said, between the cockpit and the terrorists is me and you, bro.
Were you serious?
Right.
That's what he said. And he said, I will be vigil. I will have my head on a swivel, my eyes open as big as saucers the entire flight.
But you know what? If I see a guy with his eyes as big as saucers the whole flight, I'm reporting him. Dude,
I
Captain.
Was fired up, Danny. I was fired up. I really was like, I was at my highest level of mm-hmm. alert.
I really like that. I mean, I'm not kidding you. I admire that a lot.
Well, wait till you hear the end of the story. So I get Adam really like, I get Adam nervous kind of, you know, and Adam's like, you know, he was a little bit nervous to start with, but after I gave him this talk, he was exceptionally nervous. And then, Adam, we sat down in our seats, mm-hmm. and what happened?
Jimmy fell asleep before we pushed off from the gate.
Wow.
Now, some people...
He was vigilantly counting the sheep.
I assumed what he was doing was trying to lull the terrorists into a false sense of security.
Right. Faking it.
But when the drool started coming, yeah. and when the apnea started coming, the loud, audible snoring, I realized at that point he'd actually passed out.
Wow. Jimmy, can I ask you a question about doing the show with Kelly?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Every time I watch Kelly, I feel like she's a character on Heroes. I don't know if she's good or evil.
No, she's very good.
She's good.
I mean, really. I've never seen anyone be so nice to ever. I mean, even during, like, the commercial breaks, she's in the audience chatting with people, and I'm very friendly and chatty with the... I mean, she gave me a massage on the plane yesterday.
So there's no evil side to Kelly Ryan.
She's
Ron.
As good as she seems.
I've known her 20 years.
With release, by the way.
Oh, so,
I haven't known her that well.
So, Jimmy, yeah. she flew with you on the ABC private jet back to do your show.
Yes, she did. Well, she flew yesterday, and then she flew back with me, and now she's not with me again.
Now, do you have... Jimmy, are you going to have various people hitching rides with you?
No.
He's a producer.
The producer, yes.
He had to relax you.
But now it's just, right now, it's me and your friend Daniel and my brother John and Gary Greenberg, one of our writers.
Good time. Did Gary have to check his nose, or was he able to carry that on?
I won't mention that to him.
Jimmy, how are you going to find time to see your beautiful girlfriend, Sarah Silverman?
Well, she comes to the show, and I put her somewhere in the front of the audience, and I'll wave for her when I come out.
How long have you been going out with Sarah now?
What's that?
How long have you been seeing Sarah? Seriously.
Wow. 5 years now.
So is it still important that she is up front, if she's there, that she come to the show? It means something to you?
It does. You know what it means? It does mean something to me because it's, I can't imagine me coming to my own show. Let's put it that way. Every single night like that.
She's a very dedicated.
She goes every night.
God bless her.
Well, I think she enjoys it, number one. But number two, obviously, she enjoys Jimmy. So, Jimmy, when you finish the show tonight, you'll get right back on the corporate jet, go to land in JFK?
No, we land at, like, Teterboro.
Okay, so you land a little closer to the city?
Yes.
And you will arrive at your hotel at what time tonight, New York time?
I will get back to my hotel at 7 a.m. That's what I got in this morning.
And what time do you have to be? What time do you have to be on the set?
I get picked up at 7:30.
Do you know who you're interviewing on the show tomorrow with Kelly?
Steve Carell. And someone else, I can't remember. Oh, someone from like Gossip Girl or something.
Okay, yeah, good show.
Good times. The good news is you have Kelly. She's a seasoned veteran. She's been through
she
it many
it very,
times.
The hard part is going to be coming back and doing my show by myself.
Who's on your show?
Mira Sorvino and Brad Paisley and someone else.
Okay, just an Oscar
winner. Although they'll be introduced as Steve Carell and some chick from the Gossip Girl.
That's right.
Because it's going to be great to see Jimmy come unraveled somewhere around Wednesday night or maybe Thursday morning.
Yeah, I think it's going to happen on Thursday morning. I think that's the odds-on favorite right now.
Well, what people don't understand about sleep deprival is it's, you know, people talk about driving drunk. How about trying to host a show and not sleep? It is more, you're more affected by that than you are drinking a six-pack.
Hey. You're right. I should get drunk on this show. I'm going to get drunk.
That's what I heard.
Hey, Jimmy, say
that's a really good idea.
Say hi to Daniel and your brother. By the way, the brother's done a little singing for us. He did the Ozzy movie theme song. And Gary Greenberg and Cousin Sal.
Sal's not with us. Oh. I'll say hello to him when I see him later.
Good times. Good luck. We'll be watching tomorrow morning, or wait a minute, this morning. Now
well,
I'm confused.
Night,
and tonight.
I don't care about their ratings. You know,
oh, okay. F them.
I see.
Who's on tonight? I had it in front of me. Let's see.
Amir Sorvino.
Ah, yes,
and,
that's right.
Brad Paisley.
That's right. That's right. With musical guest Brad Paisley. All right, Jimmy, good luck. We'll be following.
Thank you, guys.
Good times, buddy.
I'm a tough guy.
Yeah.
You're a tough man.
Oh, that is brutal.
That's a real entertainer, though, man.
And the thing that was funny is Mike August, our booker, who's Jimmy's booker, was sitting in here last week on Friday, and he was trying to calculate the carbon credits, the offsets.
Ah.
See, when you take a private jet back and forth, East Coast, West Coast, once or twice a day for a week,
yeah,
you have to essentially plant Brazil.
Right.
In order to offset the carbon impact you've
His
made.
His footprint is now
right.
more of a...
I think they have to do it, too. I think corporations like ABC have to be very conscious of the carbon footprint, and they have to get their vouchers or their offsets. It's an interesting topic, and it actually sort of leads us into our next bit, which is on CNN this morning, they broke down how it worked, how the offset and the vouchers and the whole thing worked, meaning you buy yourself a Prius, you don't need to offset it that much. But if you buy yourself an Expedition, then you need to buy X amount of carbon, whatever, to make up for the impact that the Expedition is making on the environment. I didn't know how it worked, but apparently it does work. And there's a full explanation of it. But now, T.
Yeah.
We got you and Alec Baldwin and the inside the actor studio.
It goes together.
It does kind of go together.
I mean, think of the extra footprint that man leaves in carbon monoxide from having to be out of breath and trying to go upstairs and stuff like that. Doesn't he have to offset himself by wearing lighter clothes or lighter shoes?
I know I should go along with this, but no.
You're a dick.
It was a good try. All right. It was a nice try. It was a valiant effort. Ed Begley Jr., I think we could have easily pulled off.
Yeah,
no
we could
problem.
Have done that. Well, let's file it
but
all
it
under...
But anything.
We can I file know. It all under news and information of the day.
There you go.
There you go.
All under the umbrella of infotainment. All right, so what we'll do is we'll take a break.
Yeah.
T will do the inside the actor's studio. Yeah. Ah, James Lipton. Huge blowhard.
Right.
He's heating the atmosphere himself.
Yes.
There's the time. So, blowhard Lipton up with Baldwin next, and then a comprehensive, easy-to-understand example of how the whole carbon thing works and how you can do it yourself.
I don't get it.
All right. We'll do that next. Also, Blair Underwood from Dirty Sexy Money is going to be on. We'll weave him in as well.
Let's check Adam's voicemail on the Adam Carolla Show.
Why doesn't Big Ball Brian get a live mic all the time? He always seems to get the jokes before anyone else. You can hear him laughing in the background, a clever little, ha-ha! Give Brian a live mic so we can hear him. He should contribute. See ya!
Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, Teresa Strasser, and Bald Brian, the big gay homo, on the Adam Carolla Show.
No.
Wrong!
Well, as I said, I'm going to make it my business to get Bald Brian paid this year.
Let's not rush to judgment, Ace Man. That's why all the facts come in.
Well, he's getting paid now, but out of your pocket, Adam.
Well, I pay part of his salary out of my pocket. Here's what everyone needs to know about radio. They treat the on-air staff very well and the off-air staff as if they're worthless peons. and they actually have disdain for them.
I straddle in the middle. People aren't really sure if I'm
on
if
air.
Well,
you do,
on air.
You do work off the air, which is the problem.
Right.
That's the part of you that gets urinated on by management. But Bald Brian is worth $29,000 a year to this company, which is probably 10 grand less than the Kelly girl who's out working the phones in the hallway by the elevators. And when I told Jack Silver just how important he was, he said, well, then you pay him.
But that's a thing about radio. That's not rare to go to the head cheese of the show and say, you want your show better? I've given you my budget for the year. You think he's that important? Pay him.
That's
I've seen that
right.
happen before. But, Brian, you know, I've also seen the head guy go, no, I was wrong. He's not that important. I'm not paying him.
Yeah, no, I knew Bald Brian had to make it least slightly above the poverty line, and that's here in Los Angeles. Yeah. Again, if we were doing the show in Binghamton or we're doing the show in Muncie, Indiana, then you can rent a nice two-bedroom apartment for $400 a year. Here it's a little more, so you need more than $29,000 a year. So I will make it my business to get you paid, Bald Brian. Do not worry. If it's the last thing I do, tea.
And yep. I'll make it my business to get you laid.
Ooh. He's got a girlfriend, folks.
Paid and laid. It's a hell of a weekend. Tea.
Yeah.
The rest of the news, and then we'll get into this carbon offset business.
Alec Baldwin was on Inside the Actor's Studio.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they take questions from the audience members who are students of the Actor's Studio.
Mm-hmm.
And Alec Baldwin tried to teach one of the students how to do an Al Pacino impression.
So young Al, you're going to be grinding the crowns off your teeth like this. Understand?
Okay.
You want to pitch your voice up very high.
Okay.
Very high.
Uh-huh.
Can you get up there like this?
I can get up there like this.
Can you go up here like this? Can you go up there and whine?
Why?
I want you to say the following line right now. You ready? Grind the crowns in your teeth like this.
Okay.
And I want you to say the following line. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
We're going to go for a walk.
We're going to go for a walk.
You're really f***ing this up pretty bad.
Baldwin. Big ball of blowhard talent.
Sure is. And you know how James Lipton administers his questionnaire by the great Bernard Pivot?
Yeah. James Lipton, who's... is his hair... Is he painting his scalp red now? What color is his hair?
I think their flesh changes color, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think the older people get lighter.
Turning orange?
Yeah. What happens is their hair... They probably use the same hair dye, so it's the same color it was, but their flesh gets whiter, and it just looks weirder and weirder.
Yeah, you know, you hear about the old purple-haired ladies or blue-haired. You hear about the old blue-haired ladies. What about the hot and up-and-coming trend of the old red-haired dudes?
Yeah.
The weird dudes who are painting their head red.
Shellacked.
Good times.
Yeah.
Danny's still, you don't dye. That's your color.
I have a little gray right here. No, but I do dye my beard.
Very youthful hair.
You call it salt and paprika?
Not yet. I don't feel enough gray to be salt and pepper. I'd like to be.
Paprika.
I just came up with that.
It's a good joke.
Okay, now here is Baldwin.
I feel
like an idiot. We
didn't minister this. I still don't understand this.
Salt and paprika's red.
Oh, okay.
See, it would be salt and pepper if it was my hair. It's salt and paprika if it was your hair.
One thing, if you have to break down a joke, it's usually because it wasn't funny.
No, you know what? That's not fair. You have to break down a joke for two reasons. One, it's not funny. Or two, the other guy can't cook.
Oh, right. There you go. Yeah.
We rehearsed this whole thing. Come on.
Yeah,
come
we've
on.
Been going over this for hours.
Where were you
last night?
Yeah, we're here at 4:30 working this bit out. Salt and paprika.
Okay.
All right.
Let's listen to a little of Alec and Lipton.
What is your favorite word?
Love. Love has become my favorite word. Amor is my favorite word.
What is your least favorite word?
Lawyers.
I must say, Baldwin, who I was not—I was always a fan of, but didn't think too much of him. Telly became a huge fan of mine, and then I became a huge fan of Baldwin.
Of course
but Baldwin, you know, when I used to do Loveline. I used to just talk about stuff all the time and forget about what I talked about all the time as I do here. And he called me once and he quoted something back to me
that I said on Loveline, which he was enamored with. He thought it was the most wonderful thing anyone had ever said.
It takes brass balls to sell real estate.
Although I was disgusted when he reported it back to me. Some woman called in to Loveline, or a girl called in to Loveline, and said her boyfriend was obsessed with the backdoor love.
Right.
And kept bugging her. And wouldn't stop bugging her. And she wanted him to stop, and he just wouldn't stop. He was obsessed, and she didn't want to. Wait a minute. She did mention he played the bass for a band, but she didn't say which band.
Salt and Paprika.
What's that mean? She said, so she would not leave the guy alone, or he would not leave her alone, and she didn't want to do it. And she wanted to know how, literally, to get this guy off her back. And yeah. I suggested that he take himself a mason jar, fill it with doggy poo-poo, put it in the microwave for a few minutes, and have at it. It was disgusting.
It's so
it was it was disgusting, but Baldwin was delighted to hear that.
Delighted
to hear it, and called me and repeated the whole call back to me. It was probably better than that, or he did a better job with it than I did. But that's my Baldwin story, T.
Well, this leads me into my next story about condoms.
Mm.
Very important if you're doing the back door or any other kind of love.
Mm-hmm.
I don't usually pass along job listings, but this is something I think a lot of people might be interested in pursuing.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, Durex, a condom company, is hunting for condom testers
mm-hmm.
in the United States. The pay is not good. It's even less than what Bald Brian makes, which
wow.
is to say it's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But the benefits are good. If they hire you for one of the 1,000 open positions, they will send you a ton of Durex products, different condoms, lubricants, vibrating rings, and you review them. One mm-hmm. of the 1,000 people will also
Durex win. Makes vibrating rings?
Yeah, who knew?
Have you ever seen those?
Mm-mm. Yeah. Well, I think I have, but I didn't know. I thought they were just made by, you know, Doc Johnson out of North Hollywood. I didn't know Durex made them.
Oh, no, it's become such an above-board business. The ones that I am aware of actually have the battery inside a special part that vibrates. So the ring goes on, but there's a thing on the end big enough for a battery to slip in, and you click it, it turns on.
Yeah, the ring goes around like where the base of the condom would be.
Yes.
Good time.
And then there's like a space where a AA battery would fit in.
Uh-huh.
On top, and it just lays on top like
yeah.
that. And you close it and you click it and it goes on, and that pushes up against a person.
Here's my deal with the vibrating C-ring.
Yeah.
Good news and bad news, ladies.
Yeah.
Good news, I got the vibrating C-ring. Bad news, don't need you.
Ah.
As long as that baby's going along, I'm fine.
It's interesting, but it's not. You're not going to finish.
You get that and a cup of warm dog poop. No need for the ladies.
Here's the great news for you, Adam. If you're anything like me, or if you're any three-pack-a-day smoker,
mm-hmm.
you don't have to do much. They prefer it if you just put pressure and stay there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe move around a little, but so, you don't have to go nuts.
So Durex makes the ring, they make the condoms, make the lotions.
Lubricants, whatever you want.
They're going to send them all to you.
Yes, they'll send you tons of free product. Both men and women can apply for this testing job. You have to be 18 or older, and according to their website, a sexual intercourse enthusiast. You also have to write an essay about why you want to be a tester. This application process started yesterday. It ends November 4th. Durex will let you know if they're hiring you by mid-November, and if they do, they'll send you your products to review by mid-December.
This is why if I worked for UPS or FedEx, I would need to know the contents of everything I dropped off. Because there'd be a whole different attitude whether I dropped off the toaster oven that the guy ordered online,
right.
or the box of vibrating condoms and the motion lotion. You know what I mean? The toaster oven, that gets tossed over the fence.
Right.
The other one, I'm rolling up my sleeves and going right to the door. Man.
And they have stupid stuff. I mean, I've just recently started caring about this stuff just because this is the first girl I've ever been that wanted to play around like that. So I never really have. They make such weird stuff, but some of it is just ridiculous.
But not Durex, just...
Not Durex, no, I'm talking about blow-up transsexual dolls. Somebody gave me one of those.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It has boobies.
And a full Who's it?
Are you sure
Danny
that
beat the crap out of it?
Well, it wanted my money, and I wasn't going to give it. Oh, don't worry, Tommy.
Are you sure that's not just extras? They had lying around the parts bin at the sex shop. You know what I mean? Like, look, let's make some rock soup here.
I promise you, there are people into weird stuff, man. I promise.
It just seems like at the end of the day, somebody said, hey, we got a prom. We got about 17 Pepes in the hopper over there, and we got 34 boobies over here. No, we don't have any vaginas. Oh, I don't know. I'm not in charge of vaginas.
No.
Put that down, Bob.
Because, right, by the way.
Let's stop arguing. Let's see what we make some lemonade here.
But the problem is, somebody is in charge of vaginas because I also, in that same box, have what is claimed to be an exact replica of Jenna Jameson's private part.
Mm.
I don't know if it is or not, but that's mm-hmm. what it says. It's a picture of her and it's endorsed by her.
Mm.
And then they... Well, that's all you really
I don't need,
need
Jenna
know.
Jameson's private parts.
I know there's no I need, such animal. It's an oxymoron.
I need like, it's not private anymore. I need like Elizabeth Hasselbeck's. You know what I mean?
She's had a kid. She's had the kid.
She didn't go C-section?
I don't think so.
It doesn't completely wreck them, guys.
All right.
You mean they can get the episiotomy?
All right. We need to take ourselves a break. And as promised, a full explanation of the carbon credits I saw on CNN. It's all the news. And the reason it's all the... Well, it was all the news before all these wildfires. Now everyone wants to know what the wildfires are doing to the environment or why we're having all these wildfires. I mean, there's been more Earth in peril discussion in the last 6 months than I've heard in the previous 60 years. It's going to freak kids out, by the way, because kids don't have a context. Kids just turn on the news and say, we're killing the globe, we're killing our planet. And then everyone talks about the future. And when you're 9 years old, you're doing the math.
Right.
You know, they go, 20 years from now, 25 years from now, the polar ice caps are going to melt. Malibu's going to be underwater. There's going to be torrential storms. And you're like, I'll be 29.
Well, the good news is, as soon as Malibu is underwater, the fires will go out.
It's a decent point.
Thank you.
Be nice if they do it sooner than later. Salt and paprika.
I don't cook.
That's the name of a morning show. We'll take a break. When we come back, I watched CNN this morning. They broke down carbon footprints and carbon offsets and how it works and what it means. I'll explain it to all of you next.
I'm listening to the Adam Carolla Show just like you for only one reason, because it's funny.
Larry Miller, one of the true geniuses of comedy, is going to be with us on Thursday night at the Playboy Mansion. All right. Oh, just got this note.
What?
Well, I try to stay on time. I try to do a radio show. Janet Gretzky is, actually, it's not Janet Gretzky. It's Janet Jones Gretzky.
Right.
Actress, model, and wife of Wayne Gretzky is going to come in here to talk about a charity. I was going to talk about this CNN green offsetting thing, but now Wayne Gretzky, who I didn't know was going to be on the show, is calling in from Phoenix. Wayne?
Good morning. How are you?
Good to speak to you, Wayne.
How's everything today?
We're on fire over here, but other than that, we're fine.
I see that. It's all over. That's all you see on TV and on the news right now. It's not a very good situation.
Well, there is still Britney Spears.
That's
but
right.
If Britney Spears were to catch fire, that would be it. That would be all TV news coverage was.
Yeah. Hey, Wayne, you're calling from Phoenix, which is what I also know as Hockey Town USA.
Mm-hmm.
Well, eventually, hopefully one day we make it that way. But obviously, we got a lot of work to do and a long way to go.
Yes, you're out there. No, wait a minute. Hockey season just started, right? Yeah. Sorry. The Coyotes, that's right.
Yeah, we just started. Actually, the Kings in Anaheim actually started a month ago in London, England.
Mm.
I guess they figured they can send us Beckham. We'll send them hockey.
Yeah.
That's
well, that makes sense.
Still, we should owe them somebody to fill in for Victoria Beckham. I feel like we're putting up with her nonsense. You should take Eva Longoria or one of our blowhard stars.
Oh, I was going to go with, like, Calista Flockhart or something.
I'll tell you how old we are. We flew to Vancouver with our kids, a bunch of young girls at 9 years old, to watch the Spice Girls in concert. So.
Oh, really?
Oh, the big reunion tour.
Yeah, well, I don't think we're going to make that one.
No, you saw the Spice Girls when they were the Spice Girls.
Yeah, we saw them in Vancouver in, I don't know, I guess 1980.
Yeah.
94, I don't know, something like that. Now it was actually good.
They're the Spice Moms. Was the show good? You said the Spice Girls show was good?
Yeah, you know what? We took, my daughter at the time was about 8 or 9, and we took about 3 or 4 of her friends, and we flew up to visit a friend and spent some time in Vancouver. We went to the concert. Actually, it was phenomenal. It was actually really good.
Really?
Wayne Gretzky's on the phone. His wife Janet Gretzky is going to be in a couple of few, and they're going to talk about the charities and some of the events they have coming up.
Is my ex-wife's hero, and I can't remember why. She made this huge deal about something she does, and I can't remember. Now that I don't like my ex-wife anymore, I can't call her and ask.
She's a great mother.
Is that it? Maybe that was it, that she had that many children and got her body back so fast. But it seems like she does something really spectacular, raised a ton of money for charity in a super short amount of time or something like that.
Oh, she's always doing that. But you know what? She's a great lady. And when she told me she was doing your show, I said, well, give me the number and I'll call in and say hello this morning.
Yeah, well, we appreciate it. Now we'll do we'll be bookended by the Gretzkys because Janet will come in here, who was a model actress for quite some time. I suppose still does some acting and some modeling, but she became Mrs. Wayne Gretzky. How long's it been? It's been about 15 years?
No, we're coming up on 20.
Yeah. 20 years!
How did you meet your wife, Wayne?
We met on a show called Dance Fever with that Merv Griffin owned. Merv Griffin brought Janet to Hollywood. She was a contestant on the show, and she became a regular on the show. And then, of course, I was stupid enough to be a celebrity judge, and I can't dance a lick.
Wayne is known as the Denny Terrio of Canada.
Yeah, right.
So you saw her dancing, and you fell in love?
No, we became friends over the years, and about, I guess, 6 years later, we met at a Lakers-Celtic game, and a year later, we were engaged and married and babies and all that stuff, so it happened pretty quickly, but we were friends for 4, 5, 6 years before
She had trouble getting out to the studio today because of the fire. Are you guys in a fire zone? Is there a danger where you guys are?
I'm not sure if it's a danger, but we're getting all the winds blowing from Malibu right into Westlake. So we actually played golf on Sunday, and it was nothing but ashes all over our development. So it's
that
sort
was Danny
of
smoking.
Yep. Yeah.
So you're out in Westlake, which is on the other side of the hill range, but the wind is blowing everything that way. Now you're calling from Phoenix. And I hear the San Diego Chargers have gone out to Phoenix to practice out in Phoenix because San Diego is now on fire, and I think they may be playing in Phoenix.
Well, Qualcomm is filled with evacuees.
This coming weekend. Wayne, do you...
The Cardinals have a bye week, so they're off, and I think they've allowed the Chargers to use their facility because they gave the players the week off. That's
right. Right. Well, Wayne, I'll tell you what. Let's take a break, and we'll do all the heavy lifting with your beautiful wife Janet Jones Gretzky once he comes in here as far as the estate sale and the items and the charity. But speak very quickly who the charity benefits and why we should care.
Yeah, we're building a baseball stadium at the high school, but what happens is the community of Westlake, Thousand Oaks, Newberry Park, all that area gets an opportunity to use it for their organized baseball, softball league. So it's a really a community project, and instead of just sort of throwing everything out or that sort of thing, we decided that let's put it to good use and build a baseball field there for all the kids. So that's where it's going.
And by the way, this is a true American because he's Canadian and they don't even know what to do with a baseball over there. They drop it on the ground and they hit it with a hockey stick.
Hold on a second. The guy starting for the Colorado Rockies, Mr. Francis, is a Canadian. So we got a game one start Canadians starting in game one in the World Series. So,
wow. It's going to be awesome to see him roll the ball over home plate. And then when he throws a strike, to see that siren go off.
Colorado, and it's snowing and 30 degrees, he'll be the guy that can stand.
Well, that's true. Place. Yeah, he'll be standing out there in a wife beater going, wow, it's hot.
Yeah.
Hey,
aren't
Wayne.
You the guys that do the curling, too?
Yes.
You take a hot pot of coffee and brush it with a broom?
They take a frozen ham and they toss it down a lake.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of drunk guys
What's
chase it.
What's up with you guys?
You're only across the street.
All right. Well, listen, I appreciate you guys taking my call, and you guys enjoy my wife's company, and you guys have a great day.
Oh, we
Thank
will.
You.
We will,
Thank
sir.
You.
Thank
the
you
great,
very much.
Wayne Gretzky. Wow.
Known as the great one, right?
Known as the great one.
What about Jackie Gleason? Who's he known as?
He's known as the dead one.
Who? Yeah. So if you're the still living one, you can lay claim to the great one?
Well, because when you go, the great one, you go, what do you mean the great, which great one? And you go, not the dead one, the great one. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you go, I go, hey, guess who I got an autographed picture with? The great one. And you go, which one? And I go, not the dead one. See, okay. That's where he becomes the dead one.
But
when they eventually
wants to know why there's a picture of Burt Lancaster and he's dead.
Well, eventually, when they both die, then we'll have to argue over who's the great one. When there's one great one and one's dead, he's the dead one. Eventually, they'll both be the dead one, the great one, and then we'll have the argument.
All right, I'm going to save up for that day.
Later.
No, I want him to get hit by a bus before the end of the show because I want to have this out.
From your mouth to God's ears. All right, where the hell were we? Do we have enough time? I want to do this carbon offset thing because I've been talking about it for an hour now and everything just keeps coming my way and I can't get out of the way of my own show. Let's knock it out now, as promised. Do we have the clip? I was watching CNN, as I'm apt to do, very early in the morning, and they started talking about the carbon footprint, the carbon offset, and the vouchers you can buy, and what your carbon footprint is. You get a score.
Yeah.
It's like a FICO score.
I'd be interested in that.
And I just thought, people don't know what this is, and let's see if I can let the pros explain it.
CNN is going green all this week. We're hoping that you want to join us. Veronica de la Cruz joins us now to talk about how you can reduce your carbon footprint. Yeah, we're learning about all of these new terms, carbon footprint, carbon credits, carbon offsets.
Right,
help
right.
us to understand.
Okay,
all
well,
this.
You want to reduce all of that by purchasing these carbon offsets or, you know, carbon credits. And you remember last week we measured our own carbon footprints. You do remember that?
I have quite
we're able
large
to calculate.
Feet, yeah.
Yes, you do. We were able to calculate how much carbon dioxide we were emitting by heading to a website. We filled out a form. We answered a few simple questions like how often we travel, the distance we travel, whether or not we own a car. You had the biggest one, and you weighed in at 86.6 metric tons.
Because I fly a lot.
Because you fly a lot.
Mm-hmm. So if you fly a lot, and if you fly commercial, it's not as bad. If you fly in, like a lot of celebrities that are talking about carbon footprints, then it costs even more as far as your carbon output goes. I wonder if they factor in how crowded the flight is. I know they probably don't, but if you fly like I fly, which is Burbank to Vegas, Southwest, and there's two guys sitting on my lap because a plane that holds 118 people has 452 people in it, as well as livestock.
That's like a train car in India.
Yeah, if I fly a 727, yes, it's Southwest, the only airline where people fly on top of the plane. They have to duck when they go under bridges. If you fly a plane that is absolutely filled versus a plane that's half filled, well,
the
doesn't
carbon,
that
yes.
affect your carbon credits? I mean, that's the whole thing about the private jets. A private jet is a jet with 8 people in it. If it had 800 people in it, then there would be no problemo. I don't know if they factor that in.
Do they factor in, and if this is off the subject, because I really don't understand, just say that's off the subject. I was being asked about Al Gore. Some freak was hassling me about how he's not really green at all. He's a complete hypocrite and blah, 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 because of his house and his lights and his plane and his this.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't the good he does and the money he spends to better his world and educate us entitle him to live any way he wishes? Does he have to live in a smaller home? Do you have to give away all your money?
A lot, Bob.
I completely agree with that. This thing where we want to call everyone a hypocrite.
Yeah, because they live well.
If you can...
If you do your gig?
Well, here's the thing. If you can get 100 people to stop doing heroin...
Right.
And I find out you're doing heroin, I don't care, because that's now 99 people you've saved from doing heroin.
Philosophically, the most good for the most people wins.
But I
way I work. And I think Al Gore has done that, and thus I do not care if he takes his Humvee, puts wings on it, and just flies circles around the airport for no good reason other than he wants to join the Mile High Club. And then he goes back to his house that has nothing but old-fashioned light bulbs that run off of kerosene rather than the compact fluorescents. It doesn't matter.
It's actual footprint from the soot.
If that makes him a hypocrite, so be it.
But does it? Is he doing heroin if he's still, if I'm understanding this correctly,
he
lives a life that leaves less of a carbon footprint than he puts out, even though he's rich?
Obviously, one guy doesn't make a difference. Here's the problem with hypocrisy. The problem is you lose followers. You see, if you're running a church where you say, stay married, be faithful to your wife, and don't raise a hand to your kid, and we find out you're cheating on your wife, you're getting a divorce, you're beating the crap out of your kid, the real danger is that more people fall off and go, screw that. If Al Gore's got a mansion, then why can't I? That's the danger in the hypocrisy to me.
But why can't they have a mansion as long as they run it as green as possible? Why can't you live?
Nobody's saying they can't. They can.
They are. They're saying he's a hypocrite.
You're asking the question, and my answer is it's fine. I don't think intelligent people really care. What there are out there is there's haters.
Yes.
You have a cause. The cause shouldn't be divided along party lines, but you have a cause, and then people find out, are you a Republican or a Democrat? And then once they find out what you are, the opposite party starts picking you apart.
Right.
It's very sad. All right. Do we have another clip to help explain how the offsets work?
Another thing you can do to neutralize your footprint is by purchasing these offsets or credits. You want to think of a carbon offset like a trade. You can offset your emissions by contributing to organizations that reverse the damage you've done to the earth by planting trees, maybe, or investing in renewable energy sources. Now, the website carbonfund.org has calculators that show you how you can offset your house, maybe your car, your airline trips, John, even your wedding if you're out there planning a wedding. Their website says that the average person can go carbon neutral for as low as $99 a year, which breaks down to less than $8 a month.
Now, I thought they were going to say $99 a month. $99 a year for the average guy is pretty reasonable.
Yeah, Brian.
And, and also they were talking about...
all that aerosol hairspray he uses.
Travel companies... you being able to purchase offsets when you do it. So you're going to plan a vacation to Hawaii. There's a certain amount of carbon that's going to be created by the airline flight and the cab ride and the hotel and all that kind of stuff. You click a box and you can donate $45 or $80 or whatever it is. So you've offset the price of your trip from a carbon standpoint, which I kind of dig. But on the other hand, there's an easy way to do this. As I've said many times, just start charging $10 a gallon for gas. That then forces everyone to do the right thing.
I wish that were true, because I keep praying that they'll make cigarettes $300 a pack, because we can't do prohibition. It doesn't work. We're Americans.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm afraid I would just smoke $300 cigarettes. That I still could. But I hope for stuff like that. If it does harm to you, you still have a right to do it, but you have to work all the harder to do that harm to yourself and to others.
I just think you can ask people all day long to pick up their cans and bottles to no avail, or you can say those bottles are worth a nickel apiece, and we will have a street crew of hobos led by Bald Brian. Because that's a second job, pushing shopping carts, picking up every single can and bottle. That's how you do it. You make them worth something, and now all of a sudden, people are recycling. That's how you motivate people. You take gas, and you make it $10 a gallon, boom, everyone's going out and getting a Yaris or a smart car or a golf cart. There's no such thing as anyone driving Ford Expeditions anymore. And if you need one and you want one, fine, you pay for it.
But then you also offset it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, that money that you're paying is going toward the folks that can't afford that, and you're forcing people to do the right thing.
Who makes the Prius?
Toyota.
Okay, because I don't know exactly how it works, but it's a hybrid, right?
Yes.
Okay. And that's really good. There was no time in my in the last 10 years where I would have the balls to pull up anywhere cool in something like that. I got to pull up my GTO or my Viper and rah, rah, rah. But now, I think you'd be just as cool. You wouldn't be Ed Begley Jr. You'd just be totally cool guy still in a Prius.
Yeah, I would say you'd be more embarrassed to pull up someplace in a Hummer or any other gas-guzzling vehicle.
You're more, I'll tell you what you're definitely more likely to get is keyed in the parking lot. I've never seen, I do my shopping now that I'm a bachelor, and I see more key scratches on big SUVs all the time now.
Yeah. Nah, not the Prius. It's not the Kias. No one will key that car. You'll go to green hell. And be tormented by the ghost of Begley. Yeah, T.
You want to bicycle?
You want to get laid? You go to one of these green whatever rallies. You pull up in your Prius and your hemp Birkenstocks, and you go to town.
Not my type, but I appreciate the effort.
Yeah, in this town especially, you're going to get laid a lot faster driving something green. Now, when Ferrari comes out with a hybrid, now we're talking trim sandwich. All right, we need to take ourselves a break.
Give
me the name of my memoirs, Trim Sandwich.
The Adam Carolla Story.
With a foreword by Alec Baldwin. Janet Jones Gretzky, the beautiful, beautiful Janet Jones Gretzky. I will tell you, you want to talk about a genetic hand.
Oh.
Yep.
I have her fitness video. I could do it every day.
Oh, my God.
I do it to her fitness video.
She's one of the girls from the firm, right? Oh, they're so hard. There's no way, like a very strong man with a, I'm going to go 10-pound dumbbells, could make it, if he's never done them before, could make it through one of the firm videotapes.
You should go take a look at American Anthem, where she plays a gymnast.
Yeah. Mitch Gaylord.
Mitch Gaylord in the 80s, when I wasn't staring at Mitch.
Yeah, I admit.
He was pretty.
During my refractory period, I checked out Janet Jones. She's a good-looking man. It was the 80s. It was a different time. Right. I was coked up. We can't judge. We'll take a break. Janet Gretzky in next.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. Every now and again, we like to break down the game film of PBS's Huell Hauser. But sometimes there's just not enough time for all the clips. So here's another one of Huell's Jewels.
So how does the carpooling work?
We meet in the morning at a place, and one of us leaves our car, and the other one drives in the rest
of
the way.
And what kind of incentive does UCLA give you to do this?
A blue parking permit where you can park anywhere on campus.
Wow.
Thanks, Huell. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, they don't have that in Canada or Missouri, where Janet Jones Gretzky is from. Nice to speak to you, Janet Jones Gretzky.
Nice to be here, finally.
Let's talk about your journey.
Okay. What, on the 101 today?
You're born, yeah. Well, L.A.'s on fire, Malibu's on fire, and the whole place is on fire. You grow up in Missouri, you're born and bred in Missouri.
Actually, I'm a native of California. I was born in Arcadia, California.
I knew you were too good-looking for Missouri. What happened? No. Somebody stole you when you were young?
Which was the show me state?
Oh,
that's Missouri.
Then I went to St. Louis, and I showed it off.
So what happened? You start off out here, and what then gets you to Missouri?
Well, my mom, my dad, and a car full of kids. They had 7 kids, and we moved to St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And where are you in their order? I'm number 6 out of 7.
And what business is your parents in or dad
in? Well, unfortunately, my dad passed, and my mom is 86.
And your dad, though, went to Missouri for work, or he went back home?
Yeah,
or?
He went to St. Louis for work. He had to feed the 7.
Mm-hmm. And what did he used to do?
He was a vice president of a company that took the tar off of runways at airports.
So it was a life in the fast lane for young Janet Jones.
On New Bern Court.
So he's out there working the tarmac. You figure out at a very young age that you're good at what, other than being amazingly good-looking? Baseball.
I was really a tomboy.
Tomboy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But don't tell me you didn't have any dates to the prom or
didn't.
Nobody. Oh, please.
No, I swear. I didn't. I was such a tomboy. I didn't make cheerleading.
I wish you weren't a liar.
A liar?
Yes.
A liar.
You a liar.
You are?
I'm not Bobby Schmotson. It's your pants that started these fires.
Yes.
Well, you're a liar, liar, pants on fire, and you went running through Malibu.
I can honestly show you pictures. I was a tomboy.
So you're a tomboy, and then at some point you realize that the tomboy is turning into a tomgirl.
and it's working out quite nicely.
Yeah, yeah.
What brings you from St. Louis to back to California?
Well, like Wayne said, I was on a TV show called Dance Fever at 16.
I love that show.
And so at 16, you become one of the regular dancers?
No. It was about 13 I started dance. I literally went from baseball cleats to ballet.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love dance. I love the competition of trying to get, you know,
for
better.
Me, it's the only time I feel like I'm alive.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
I was just kidding. I've never danced before. I never remember dancing.
Put the music on and I have a good time. But
so you got involved with Dance Fever was one of these shows. Well, it was, you can do the math. It's called Dance Fever. It's not
right,
a political
exactly.
forum.
Yeah.
Guy who stands around with a microphone. Murph Griffin tries to pick him up and Janet shakes her coolie in the background.
Yeah.
Kind of like your white version of Soul Train or
you
something
were
like that.
You 16 at the time? I was 16 and... And then we actually got all the way to the finals. I was this, you know, little girl from St. Louis, Kevin Buck and I.
Now, how did you get, you were a contestant.
We were a contestant, yeah.
Dance
it was
Fever.
Like the first season of Dance Fever.
Uh-huh.
Went all the way to the finals and lost by a point. Barry White was a judge. Can you believe that? How dare he?
It's great to 16-year-old Janet Jones. Take off your brassiere, my dear.
I threw my hat off and I lost by a point. But I made an impression with Merv Griffin. And,
really?
That's hard for a girl to do.
Yes.
You must have been good or your hair must have been very short. So you made an impression on the Mervster.
I did.
And now he says
out.
What?
2 years later, he brought me back out.
So now you're 18.
And I came back out to California to audition for it.
Not for... Oh, for...
For a motion on Dance Fever.
Ah, which is one of the dances.
Yes, is what, you know, motion on each
Never
side of Denny.
Never had the Dance Fever. Was stricken with the boogie-oogie flu.
I remember that.
Once,
yeah.
But never the Dance Fever.
7-day course, you know, back then, it was like the American Idol. It was such a
huge
show.
Right.
It was huge.
So Merv brings you out. You become one of the full-time dancers on Dance
making
Fever.
Making good money. My family didn't, you know, have a lot of money. So next thing you know, I was making a lot of money.
So now you're 18. You're out here in Southern California. Mm-hmm. You've blossomed, obviously.
Well,
obviously, you're no longer the tomboy.
Well, it snowballed. And next thing you know, I started to get work. I mean, you know how one job leads to the next.
Right.
And I was next thing you know, I did 15 national commercials. Then Gary Marshall met me and thought I'd be right for Flamingo Kid. And then next thing you know, I was in Chorus Line and American Anthem. And I worked from 18 to 25. I didn't stop working. And I said, enough of that.
How old were you when you went to that fateful Laker game and saw Wayne
like
Gretzky
25.
Again? So you were 25 when you saw
him. Met when we were 19, when I was on the show. And then you know, of course, he lived in Edmonton, and I lived and worked back and forth from L.A. to New York. And, you know, trying to put it in a nutshell, you know, we did a lot of things. And next thing you know, we were at a Lakers-Celtic game, and
but
we ran into each other.
You knew who the great one was, right?
Of course I did.
Good. Nothing more.
I knew a lot of people were.
Nothing more obnoxious than the chick who does that thing where it's like, I had never, ever heard of President Nixon before I'd met him, or I'd never heard of, you know, Karl Malone.
That's where my tomboy came in.
The great Karl Malone.
The mailman.
The mailman who played for the Utah Jazz and all that.
Right.
His wife, when they interview her, goes, I'd never heard of him.
No,
I didn't know who
that.
He was.
Yeah.
And she said, I went to the mall, and there was a big sign that said the mailman was signing autographs. I thought he delivered mail. I thought he was he's a 9-foot black man, and there's a line of people around the block who want the autograph of a guy who carries mail for a living.
There's a friend of mine, Jonathan Brandmeier, is a disc jockey in Chicago, and he says there's three kinds of fans, and one of them is the, who are you? Everybody acts like you're special. Do you do something special? Who are you? What do you do? Why are you special?
No, I knew Wayne was special at 19.
Yes. You knew who he was. Mm-hmm. You liked hockey.
I wasn't a sports fan. Well, I wasn't a complete hockey fan at that point. Remember,
right.
It wasn't as big in the States
but
as
transcends,
it was in Canada.
He transcends the sport.
Yes, he does.
Your wedding was broadcast live on Canadian TV. Mm-hmm. Is that true?
Mm, pretty much.
That's big.
I mean,
for him getting married, that's like royalty in Canada.
It was.
Getting married, right?
It was, and I don't know how happy they were that I was an American girl marrying their Canadian
idol. And also pregnant.
Interesting.
Pregnant
wait,
at the
wait,
time.
Wait, 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 no? wait. Okay, I was.
Sorry.
With Danny Terrio's child. That's that's controversy right there.
That's
I had a little great wedding.
No, he was carrying Mervs at the time.
And as Wayne tells it, and pardon me if I'm being indelicate, but when you ran into each other at the Laker game that night.
Magic.
That night it happened?
That's what Wayne says.
No, no. Not that night.
No, Zamboni.
Let me just get it on record. Not that night.
You're, you're saying that he...
Technically, it was 1 a.m., so it was the next day.
It was the next day.
Well, I got to say, Janet
Jones... Well, all I can say is that we are kind of a rarity. We have been together 20 years.
So
everybody thought, everybody thought I was bringing him to L.A. to further my career, but I basically was barefoot and pregnant for the next 6 years.
Yes, you have got
years,
five
10
kids.
Years. I do.
How many kids?
I have five.
Wow. What a genetic hand. I feel like the great one, well, that's his name, the great one. That sperm's got to be good. And then look at Janet Jones' eggs over here.
Yeah, you should see my kids. They're beautiful.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. Out of all five of them, seeing as how you're married to the great one, so they've got great genetics, and you are stunningly gorgeous and tall and have...
Thank you.
After five kids, or if you had no kids, you would still have just a almost perfect figure. You know,
thank
if you've never
you,
had any children.
Thank you. Thank you.
Out of the five, anyone get unlucky?
Not one.
You don't have one ugly kid?
Not one.
Really?
Not one.
God damn.
Not one.
No.
We have four
one's
kids
more
in the
beautiful
Bonnici
than the
family.
Other. No.
Three of us are ugly.
Oh, even if they were ugly, you can't say it. You're a mom, but
all right.
That's horrible. Or you're a dad. I'm
but
a
they
man.
turned out good. And
they're
even
beautiful.
If you didn't want to have kids, Canada,
they would force you
to mate with Wayne
Gretzky.
He must sire a son, right? The great
of
one.
Of course, that was Ty, our first son. But you know, I came from seven kids, so it was kind of in my makeup.
Why would you ever name a guy the son, the first heir of the greatest man in a sport, Ty?
Because,
why would you name him Winner?
Well, because Ty, Wayne's real passion, other than hockey and me, was baseball. And Ty Cobb was a great baseball player.
I was thinking Ty as in nobody wins.
No. Well, it was between that and forfeit.
As in, like, kissing your sister,
and,
which is gross. but if you have to kiss a sister, you go with the Gretzky-Jones combination.
Yeah.
Hell of a lot better than a Corolla.
Yeah, I agree.
So now you guys, as we spoke to the great one Wayne on the phone moments earlier from what I called Hockey Town USA, Phoenix, Arizona. You guys have an estate sale. It's to raise money for a worthy cause. You guys are selling your actual stuff?
Mm-hmm. Actually, yeah. What happened was... We just sold our house. I built a house, and we had had it for 7 years. And actually, we sold it to a great family, the Dykstra family. And it was a very big home. And as I was moving and going through boxes, I was just, like, so overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And also knowing that I had seven storage units of other things over the 20 years from house, from New York to L.A. to wherever we are. You know how it is. You keep getting things, and it was really weighing on me. I mean, I'm convinced I was probably an Oprah episode. But but I said, let's do something with this. And as I was putting the boxes together, you know, I'd say sale, keep. Sale, keep. And then I was thinking, well, I could have an estate sale, but I don't want to keep the money. It looks kind of silly. And I know that the school was raising money and trying to raise money for the ball field. And I went to Tom Krajorian and I said, why don't we come up with this idea and we'll have an estate sale and we'll raise money and hopefully we can raise enough and finish the ball field and it helps the whole community.
Now, you're saying that Wayne, even though he's from Canada, is a big baseball fan.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that he had a Honus Wagner baseball card.
He did. He did.
And does or did?
Did.
Sold it.
I wish he did still.
Yeah.
How much did he sell?
I think it just sold for $10 million.
What?
Yes.
What?
Yeah. That will not
That's
be in
the most
sale.
Valuable card.
Well, maybe there's another one in the sale. I don't know.
Well, the most valuable baseball card is the Honus Wagner card. And look, everybody, I always use baseball cards as an example.
Right.
First off, they say,
when I like cars.
Right.
And people, whenever I get a car, people go, well, what are you going to do with that old car? You're going to go 200 miles. You're going to go. Right. And I go, well, what, when you collect baseball cards or stamps or baseball, if you had a baseball that had Babe Ruth's name on it, what are you going to do with that? Are you going to play with it? No, I'm going to look at it and other people will covet it and then I'll sell it for more money one day, you idiot. Mm-hmm. So the same thing applies for every form of collecting.
Right.
Now, the Honus Wagner card is very valuable to the point where there's one out there that they think is a counterfeit, but they're not sure, and some old...
No, it's good.
Well, there's another one that maybe...
There might be another one?
Yes, that people aren't sure if it's an actual card, and if it is, it's worth millions. I didn't know it was worth millions. Mm-hmm. I thought it was worth a million.
Well, at the time that Wayne owned it, I believe he's... I think he sold it for, like, maybe $500,000.
I have the Robert Wagner card from Heart to Heart.
Okay. Well, one day that will be worth something, too.
So Wayne bought it when? Do you remember?
Many years ago. Well, 80... Maybe 91.
Right. And he sold it how long ago?
Maybe 93, 94.
And now, let me ask this without getting, too much into finances here. Mm-hmm. You guys are doing all right.
Yes, we are.
Why sell the Honus Wagner card?
It's actually somewhat of a little bit of a personal story, but I think I can share it
with
you.
Please.
At the time, he owned it with a gentleman, a good friend of ours named Bruce McNall.
The owner of the Kings?
Yes.
Or the former owner? Does he still own the Kings?
No, he does not own the Kings anymore, unfortunately, because he was a great owner, great man, wonderful man. He got in a little bit of...
Little legal trouble.
And Wayne just said, I don't want to own it by myself. It's something that Bruce and I did together, and... if he's not going to be involved with it with me, then I'm ready to let it go.
Mm-hmm. So he sold it to Charlie Sheen.
Did he buy it?
I don't know.
No, he didn't buy it.
Some
guy.
When people do that thing where they go...
He would have been smart to buy it.
People do that thing where they go, $500,000 for a baseball card or $500,000 for a car? Mm-hmm. Yes, dingbat. Because now the idiot that paid $500,000 for the Honus Wagner baseball card in 1996 or whenever the hell it was is sitting on $5 million.
I think it transferred a couple hands before
this
final guy that I think it was quoted at $10 million.
But let's talk about some of the things for sale at your estate sale, because there's some cool stuff.
Okay, gosh, I
Janet, can we cut to it? I'll tell you how to make money at that sale.
Tell me.
I've already got it. I'm with you, Adam.
Tell me.
Kissing booth.
Ooh.
With my son, Ty.
Are you a step up the evolutionary scale of grossness?
It's the benefit of the school.
Yeah, he had a booth, but was not kissing.
Tongue. Tongue for $5, no tongue for $3.
Oh, I'm going to be more than that.
That's what we're talking about. Now, what do you have over there? Can we buy some memorabilia, some pinball machines?
Wayne said, Janet, don't say there's memorabilia because they're really, you don't want to have people go crazy or whatever. But there are things that have been in our life for 20 years that, Wayne and I have owned and been involved with. And I don't know if you want to be a part of it or whatever, but there is a lot of furniture.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of clothes, a lot of pinball machine, a Wayne Gretzky pinball machine, jukebox. There's
Video game would be signed by Mr. Gretzky.
Yeah, but on Wednesday night, if you come out Wednesday night to Westlake at the Four Seasons, Wayne and I will both be there from 6 to 9.
Sure.
And Wayne's going to introduce his wine. Wayne owns a wine now.
Mm-hmm.
And from
Wayne's wine?
Yeah, Wayne Gretzky Estates.
Well, you think wine, you think Canada, you think hockey.
Of course. Yeah, wine.
And by the way, they'll be at the Four Seasons because they're forced to leave their home.
Right.
Because it's on fire. Yeah. All right, Janet Jones.
It's a disguised fire sale.
Can people go online? Do you have a number?
OaksChristian.org.
OaksChristian.org.
That is where the school is that we're going to build the field.
You can meet the great one. You can also meet the great one's
wife. That's
at
the Four Seasons on Wednesday night between 6 and 9 at night.
And
signing wine, signing sticks, signing jerseys. signing. We're going to sign the cover of the Cigar Aficionado magazine that we did together. I mean, just things that people can, you know, maybe give away for Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever it is, personalized.
Thank you for including Hanukkah.
Yeah, well,
yeah,
it's part of it all.
Yeah, but you didn't bring up Kwanzaa, and I think that's just mean.
We will, too. Yes, Wayne played side by side with many Jews and brothers during his 21 years in the NHL. Most of the Nordiques were Jews. People don't know about that. No, they did not know. Janet Jones, God bless you. Come back anytime.
Thank you for doing this. And come on out to the sale
on Saturday, the
27th, I believe, and Wednesday at the Four Seasons before the 27th. We're going to have a lot of great things. Come support the community. It's all going to the baseball field and another small school in Westlake, Cardin, Canale. So please come support.
Good times.
I'd love to see you.
Kevin Nealon, quietly one of the funniest guys in show business. You know him from Weeds and SNL. Kevin Nealon is going to be on the show next.
Here's a crank call from the Crank Anchor's Vault with Kevin Nealon.
Hello?
Hey, I was calling in reference to the ad in the newspaper, personal assistant.
Oh, right. Oh, that's great. That's great. And your name is?
Ricky Wright.
Okay. What are you able to do for me?
I can type, file.
Really? How many words can you type?
Maybe like 40.
Wow, that's great. Okay. Do you take dictation?
No, I can learn.
Wow, okay. All right, what kind of cleaning experience do you have?
I worked at a hotel.
Wow!
Shuttle driver. And.
Wow! Great. And you cook?
Yes.
Wow! Wow! Okay, and what do you like to cook?
A variety of things. I like to stir here and there with different pastas.
Wow! Are you easily impressed at all?
Easily impressed, not too easily.
I got a gym in my home here, and I need the equipment kind of, you know, maintained.
Yeah, I like exercise equipment.
Yeah, how much you bench?
Me, probably like maybe 2 inches of change. This guy.
That is me. I can't get 150 up. Wow. Now, what about electrical equipment, are you good with that? Can you fix the clock on my VCR? Don't tell me you can.
Oh, yeah, that's...
Wow!
Just got EPA certification for heating the air.
Whoa! You ever work with a TiVo?
No.
So you're in the EPA?
Yes. Wow. I just got a universal certification.
Ow! I just cut my finger. Do you know what mom spells upside down?
Wow.
Yes, wow, you got it. What do you say to wow?
Mom.
Wow. Give me a wow.
Wow.
All right. Wow you later.
All right.
Wow.
Kevin Nealon, everybody. Kevin.
Adam.
Great to speak to you, Bigfoot.
It always amazes me how those people stay on the phone so long.
Well, as we learned, Kevin Nealon, we made many calls from Las Vegas doing crank anchors. Then I do believe we went and saw like Siegfried and Roy or something afterward, or maybe that was David Alan Greer. I always confuse the two of you. But we made many calls, and the way it works is if you call a deli in New York City, the guy yells at you for 10 seconds and then hangs up the phone. But if you call Barrow, Alaska, you can talk to a guy for an hour and 45 minutes.
I don't know what you're talking about.
And you know what I say to them? Wow.
Kevin, quickly, I've talked about it before, but it's always one of my favorite. Kevin called a guy in Alaska to see if he would be his northernmost compass buddy.
That's her.
That was her.
I don't know what you're talking about.
And she agreed that he would call every day at noon to check in as the compass buddy. And she said, fine, no problemo.
Yeah, that was Alaska, so, you know, they don't have a lot going on up there.
Evidently. Kevin, you're going to be, well, first you have Weeds, and I should say Mazel Tov to you, because Weeds is one of those shows that everyone thinks is their personal show.
Yep.
Yeah.
You start talking about shows, and people go, oh, have you seen Heroes? Have you seen have you seen this? You seen that? And then everyone goes, you know what show's good? Weeds. And then the next guy goes, I know. I like that show. And the other guy goes, wait a minute, that's my show. They all think, like, people don't feel that way about The Sopranos. Everyone likes The Sopranos. But Weeds, everyone feels like it's quietly their own personal show, which has got to be kind of nice for you, Kevin Nealon.
It is, Adam Carolla. And I'll tell you what, it's really, you know, evolving over the last couple of years. Like, I go out and I do stand-up comedy now, and invariably somebody now will come up to me after the show with a doobie and say, hey, man, you want to go out back and smoke a little, you know, doobie? You want your high?
That's so weird. That happens to me, too.
And I could imagine. And then I tell them, I say, you know, I don't really smoke pot. That's just like a honey rose herb we smoke on the show. And it's like they don't even hear me. They go, come on, we'll go out back and talk it up a little bit. Come on. And then I was wondering, I wonder if, like, the actors from The Sopranos, when they go out to dinner or something, someone comes up to them afterwards with, like, a .38 caliber. Hey, dude, you want to go out and whack some people after the show? What do you say?
Well, the thing that's funny, and it's the difference between pot and coke, is all the pot guys want you to smoke pot with them and want you to admit you smoke pot, whereas the coke guys hide in the bathroom and lock the door and keep it all to themselves. I've had a million guys go, come on, you know you get high. And I go, yeah, I do on occasion. You're high now. Come on, yeah. Dude. We're both high. Like, look, not everyone is high. And if you're getting high, you should hope that the world isn't getting high. You shouldn't want the airplane pilot to be high or the cab driver or the school teacher all be high with your stoned ass.
Wouldn't yes. Would you like to know how many pilots on airplanes you've flown on were high?
Well, I assume... Once the autopilot kicked in, that was everyone's ticket to getting high. If there was an autopilot on any job, if there was an autopilot on this job or an autopilot on when I used to swing a hammer, I would have immediately thrown the switch and picked up a bong.
Yeah, that is true.
Now, Nealon, you're kind of a straight arrow. You don't really get high.
Well, let me tell you something, Corolla. I've gotten high before. You know, I've done my fair share of partying, but I cannot recover anymore. It takes me too long to recover from any kind of night of debauchery.
Really?
I happen to know that Nealon does not smoke pot anymore. His only indulgence is red wine, but he has a fetish. He likes to mix red wine with white carpets.
I had a feeling that's where you were going.
Kevin Nealon left a red wine stain on my carpeting that was so new, it still had the little bits of carpet on it.
Yep.
You know, like when you get a set of tires that's so new, it still has those little nubs where it was pulled from the mold.
Sure.
My carpet was so new, it still had the little bits of carpeting on it, like when you mow a lawn and you don't pick up the shavings. I don't know how that works, but they must sprinkle carpet bits around your new carpet. He stained that carpet that was about 12 hours old in white, but it wasn't a red wine stain. It was a trail of red wine tears. He literally stained my white carpet for 26 feet.
Wow. Was this the Malibu house?
Yes, I said, how does that happen? You're so lucky. You're so lucky it's going to burn down, Nealon. Because
yeah.
I couldn't get those stains out. But how did you manage to stain my white carpet for 26 feet?
Kevin?
Let me tell you exactly what happened. There was a moment. Actually, it wasn't me really that stained it. I had a glass of wine that I put in the baby stroller. You know, and my wife didn't realize it was in there. She pushed the stroller out of the room, trailing a thing of wine. You know, it was spilling and leaving a trail. First of all, you had a party in a brand new house.
With white carpet.
With white carpet.
I mean,
carpet.
Really.
I know. And I did that sort of thing where I thought maybe I ought to put some tape over the bedroom or maybe I ought to put a sign. And then I thought, no, what kind of human being would bring red wine onto my white carpet and then tape it to a baby stroller and drag it?
Well, here's what I want to know. I don't think that you have to think in advance. I have white carpet. Although I do know that there are people who do this. I don't know them personally, but I've heard of them. That if they have white carpet, they say, don't bring red wine to my house. It's like a rule. But what kind of guy blames his wife? Come on, Neyland. Suck it up. And his infant child.
The baby's got a wine problem. The baby's a drinker.
Now that's a man. Here's my toddler's already drinking.
I must.
He can walk fine last year, but now that he's been drinking, he's a toddler again.
You must see the stain to believe it. When I saw it the next day, I was like, what kind of animal? Like, when somebody says, somebody spilled red wine on your white carpet, you think that's horrible, but maybe I can put a potted plant over it. Oh, no, it's 26 feet long.
You need a wandering Jew.
You can see it from outer space. And, you know, Kevin, I was just thinking, if this was a commercial for some sort of carpet cleaner.
OxyClean
by Billy Mays. And they put red wine on a baby stroller and dragged it along white carpeting. The producer would go, please, that's never going to happen. No, let's reel it in.
Now, did you approach the bench? May I approach the bench, please?
Yes, please.
Yes.
Let me tell you something. When we saw that long trail of wine, we loved your house. When we looked and saw that trail of wine, it went from the room out into the living room, right to the stroller where we're standing. And some woman saw it, and she goes, oh, my God, and she followed the trail like a fuse right to us. And we were trying to get out of there. For a minute, we thought to ourselves, should we say anything? Or should we just leave?
Oh, God, no.
We decided, being the people that we are, we would stay and clean it first. And not only did we clean it, but Jimmy Kimmel and Sarah Silverman got down and got their news.
Celebrity carpet cleaning.
White wine.
Yeah. No, he was very dignified. Neyland.
And baby wipes. We had baby wipes we were cleaning it with.
I could see. That was my poor name, by the way. baby wipes. I could see Neyland doing a shoulder roll toward the front door and Ozzy tackling him. So it wasn't exactly how
so
he decided
about
to stay
getting
on his
out,
own.
But you decided to do the right thing.
It was like a hit and run. There's a brief moment where you always think, I could probably get away with this.
And there's no telling how long the actual stain was because it stopped where it hit the ocean.
Wow.
I actually saw that followed the stain down to the Pacific Ocean.
At high tide, it was actually shorter
who
than it
knows
was.
How far out in the sea it actually goes.
But that was it was also brand new wine. I mean, new carpet.
It's a good point, so we're even. My own wine on my own carpet, bitten by my own snake.
How is that carpet looking?
It's fine, Neyland. The good news is everyone else came in and screwed it up, so you're off the hook.
I was there. I saw it. Looks, you know what it looks like? It looks like someone stabbed a polar bear. It was really kind of cool and manly.
It's really, my master bedroom's like a Rorschach test. I tell them, look down, what do you see? And they say, guy used to be on SNL, got loaded, put a bunch of red wine on his kid's stroller.
What does that mean about the person?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Hey, it looked like somebody got stabbed and somebody dragged the body out of the room.
Crime scene.
Hey, Neyland will not only be watching Weeds on Showtime Monday nights at 10 o'clock, third successful season, but we'll also be checking you out on November 17th, that is Saturday, coming up with Joy Behar. At the Caesars Palace showroom in Las Vegas for the Comedy Festival. And let me say this about Kevin Neyland. Kevin Neyland is one of these guys who is like that guy who's a very quiet guy, but he's a badass and will kick anyone's ass, but doesn't talk about it and doesn't have
really?
Any tattoos and doesn't have any earrings. Oh, no, Kevin Neyland's a puss. But what I'm saying is...
In comedy,
he's one of these guys who you don't realize just how good his stand-up act is and how good he is just overall comedically because he's not loud and he's not kind of in your face and he doesn't make a big kashaw about it.
Not to compare in any way, shape, or form, but like Stephen Wright never got loud. But that's his act, right. That's what I was going to say, not to compare. Mm-hmm. But Neyland just speaks, and he's got a wonderful cadence. You know who has a great, just sometimes they're not even saying something particularly funny, and people howl because their cadence is so good. Palma Poundstone. Has that cadence that just?
I've always had good cadence.
Yes, you have
never had a problem
cadence.
With the cadence.
No, you know the way you just say a sentence just right, and it makes the joke so much better. It's the same words, but just said at the right time, and he's got that.
Well,
hey, Corolla,
yes.
Corolla, you know when you were saying how it's a badass and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
For a minute, Bonaducci was getting a little respect for me. He goes, "Really?
Yeah, I was.
And you said it was a stand-up, and then you kind of lost it all.
No, I seriously thought.
I heard that too.
I heard it too. I hate to admit that about myself, but I heard, you know, and nobody knows this because he's so quiet and generally, this is a serious badass. I'm like, no way. How cool is that?
Listen, here's how much of a badass he is. He's going to be performing in Vegas with Joy Behar.
Beat her ass!
Oh, no, Kevin Nealon's a puss. That takes a man. Hey, Nealon.
Yeah.
Good luck to you. I know it's getting late and you have to go ruin other celebrities' carpets, so I'm going to let you go. Again, Weeds coming up on Monday nights, 10 o'clock, and then this comedy festival. Yes.
Yeah. It's going to be in the Augustus Ballroom at Caesars, I believe it is.
On November 17th. Kevin Nealon's a puss. Great to see you. Great to speak to you, Kevin, and we'll talk soon, yes?
I'll bring my cadence back again another time.
Thank you. And Nealon, true or false, you and I could be good friends, but we're both too lazy.
We're both lazy, and you talk too much.
Well, that was bitching. You are a badass.
No, whenever I see Nealon, we always talk and we always hit it off, and I feel like we're simpatico, and we're this close to exchanging numbers, and then we go, forget it.
No, everything's too much work these days.
That's
I
right.
I always bail out of everything. I say, no, this is just too much.
Plus, he was wearing Crocs last time I saw him, size 19 Crocs, so I thought, I'm going to keep my phone number. All right, Nealon.
See you later.
Right back. Good luck in Vegas.
Hey, T.
Yep.
T's the news.
I've got a new Spice Girls song for you, and also, exactly how much do men spend on women?
Kevin Nealon's a puss.
Found out.
Surveys found out how much men spend on women.
Yeah, they've broken it down by categories, and I've got a total per year.
Per year, but not...
I'll be curious. I am curious.
A husband on his wife or a guy
on his girlfriend?
Ah,
either way.
Oh, I see. It's a breakdown. Well, we'll do that with the news next.
Cola Show and Miller Lite present Blotto in the Grotto.
Returns as dedicated as ever to one unholy purpose.
Thursday night, live at the Playboy Mansion.
Behind these walls, a world of madness and brutality within.
With Adam Carolla.
A living thing with the brain of an insane genius.
Teresa Strasser.
The female breast can be deadly.
And Danny Bonaducci.
Created from the bodies of the criminally insane.
Featuring Hugh Hefner.
Rising from his tomb.
The Deaf Rat Guy.
A terrifying story that could have happened to the kids in your neighborhood.
David Alan Greer.
Dracula's soul brother.
The Kardashian Sisters.
All obsessed with the taste of flesh.
And a costume contest that could send you to Sin City for 3 days at the Planet Hollywood Resort, thanks to TravelWorm.com.
We have painted a bloody picture, but it is only a small part of what actually takes place in...
Blotto in the Grotto. Visit AdamCarolla.com to win tickets.
You will sit and watch this shocking ugliness.
And if you can't get in, listen to the broadcast Friday morning.
If you have a strong constitution, we challenge you to test it and sit through.
Blotto in the Grotto with the Adam Carolla Show.
Good times. T.
Yep.
The news, baby girl.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
I understand there are a lot of fires. Don't know if you've heard this. Malibu, San Diego, all around, Canyon Country.
But it's always very sad to hear that this has happened.
I hear he doused the Big Bear fire with Grecian formula. He flies a C-130 tanker plane filled with Grecian formula. Naturally, it's when he just goes on business,
right.
And he doused the flames.
I would be concerned that would be flammable Grecian formula.
No.
It actually puts the flames out.
Oh yes, yes.
No, it just turns them back to their natural color.
That's right.
They
right.
Get paprika.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Halle Berry. This, according to Page Six, she was on.
If that were true, yeah. Jack Silver could never eat fondue again.
Oh, that would be an inferno.
That's right. He'd go up faster than Grizzly Adams.
Get him some fondue.
Good times.
Now, Halle Berry. Pass the cheese cubes. Halle Berry was on The Tonight Show Friday afternoon. She was taping an appearance, according to Page Six. Halle was looking at pictures of herself with Jay Leno that were distorted by a computer program. You know, part of some sort of bit. After the first one, in which her nose is made very large, Halle said, "Here's where I look like my Jewish cousin." A source says no one laughed. Jay Leno said, "I'm glad you said that and not me." And the word Jewish was scrubbed from the broadcast. Apparently, Halle asked that it be taken out. She said she didn't mean to offend anybody.
They replaced it with Yid.
This is, Yid cousin.
If someone had a sense of humor, they'd do that. Yeah, no, we took Jewish out, Halle. It's all taken care of.
Yeah.
We did it with Yid.
No, we replaced it with Jesse Jackson's going to Hymietown.
Right.
My Hymietown cousin.
Remember that?
God. Oh, sure. Yeah. Great disco song as well.
Hymietown?
Mm-hmm. Won't you take me to Hymietown?
Yeah, I hadn't heard that in a while.
Dun, 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 dun,
speaking of date.
Jew on the one. Ba, 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 ba. Got to get a quarter for another bagel. Got to go down.
The original's by Lips, Inc.
Lips, Inc.
Different body part that does Hymietown.
That's right. Double Dinos do the remake. Got to get the yarmulke that covers my bones.
We're all bones.
Talk about blowing the shofar. Bata mitzvah.
I don't know if they should be blowing the shofar.
Hymie's a town. Hymie's a town. Yeah. Now, during the musical interlude, that's where I break it down and go into the Jewbot.
How's that?
I mechanically put money back into my wallet.
And then do you mechanically rub the curls on the side of your head?
That's right. Won't you take me to Hymietown? Won't you take me to Hymietown? Wow, Halle Berry's a great singer.
A great idea for a song.
This is the first funny bit I've heard on Leno in years.
I cannot believe nobody did this.
Well, listen.
All right, but we're the funniest.
She was going to go to Studio 54, but she went to Studio 24. It was cheaper. Okay.
All right.
Good stuff. Now, Maria Osmond had an episode last night on Dancing with the Stars. She did her dance, and she was quite good. It was very energetic. She looked really psyched. And then she was about to get judged. She started to get judged. She did not dance to Hymietown.
Okay.
It's hard to samba to this. She was being judged, and then she fainted. Listen carefully, and you will actually hear Maria Osmond go down.
Let's go to our head judge first, Len Goodman. What did you think, Len?
Well, you know, for the amateur dancer, for me, this dance, the samba, is the hardest one to master.
I agree.
There's lots of different rhythms going on. You have to do steps on the spot. You have to move around the floor. You've got to get this elusive bounce action going. And, of course, you've got to show the gaiety and the fun of the samba.
That was so funny.
We're going to take a commercial break. We'll be right back, and we'll be right back after this.
Maria Osmond was fine.
You don't throw it to break for the best part.
I went back and TiVo. I think I might have broken my TiVo because I had to watch that so many times in a row. Because once I knew she was fine...
Yeah.
It is pretty satisfying.
That's all. That's all that matters.
She was fine. She
it all
came
sounded
back.
Sexual to me. You go, in about a second, you're going to hear Maria Osmond go down. And then the first thing we said is, let's go to the head judge. And the second guy, and the last thing he said, I can't remember quite what it was, but it was a total sexual entendre as well. Are they all just trying to be like clever and speak in code?
I don't
think so. About the Maria Osmond girl? Because it is funny.
And Tom Bergeron is known for his biting wit.
Actually, he's not that funny because he's supposed to be kind of white bread, but at his white bread comedy, I got to admit, he's fairly fast.
Yeah, he does a very good job.
It's just not my kind of comedy, but he's pretty quick at it.
Well, God bless him. He threw it a commercial.
I got another song here.
I'd have fired somebody throwing the commercial.
Hey, baby. I'm Mormon. And I have a basal reaction when I hyperventilate. I hit my head on the dance floor, as I'm prone to do.
Nice.
Do a little dance, collapse on the floor. Mormon tonight.
Mormon tonight.
Yeah, do a little dance, shake a little head, collapse on the floor. Yeah, we make fun of anyone's religion via the majesty of disco song.
It's not offensive through the majesty of song.
No. All right, T-Bone, you got the rest of the news?
Yeah, when we come back, the new Spice Girls song and how much exactly do men spend on women they love.
We'll take ourselves a quick break. Back with more disco hits next.
As the sperm flies on a sweaty, hot October night, old man Hef has a girl clean his pipes in the grotto.
In the grotto.
And his girlfriend cries. If there's one thing she don't need to do, it's end up with a handful of goo in the grotto.
You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah. Good times. Hey, T's got the news. Now, my dad's on the phone.
Oh, that trumps me. We got to pick up Pop's Carolla.
Yeah, hello?
Dad?
Hell yeah.
What's going on?
Okay, I thought one of the first places to remind you about Thursday night, whether you're making my lecture on the prison or not.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
My dad used to donate his time to a prison.
Me
he would
too.
Go into.
Well, I actually donated.
He got to leave though at the end of the day. Yeah. And he would talk to the inmates over there about life and psychology and religion and all that. And one time got locked in and there was trouble.
Hell yeah.
Good thing my dad can handle himself.
Damn
by
right.
Falling into a fetal position and crawling out a drain pipe.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I wonder,
yes.
These men, I've worked with men on death row. And anyway, I worked with silence because they were silent. You know, they were like in a, all by themselves. And I wonder if I could, just for 10 seconds, tell you something about silence.
Well, yeah. Okay.
All right, let me tell you what I...
Well, how did it work? You go into the prison.
Right, I worked in Supermax. That was the most secure part of the prison.
That was my gay porn name, something my dad doesn't want to talk about. You went to the Supermax and you went and talked to the death row guys, but they were all secluded and didn't talk too much. So how do you do it with silence?
Well, if you give me a minute, give me 20 seconds, I'll tell you. This is the idea of how it was done, what I think silence is and how I work with them. Silence vibrating is creation.
Hmm.
Silence flowing is deep relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Silence shared is deep communication. Hell yeah. Silence seen is divinity. Silence heard is music.
Hey,
silence,
Dad.
Expressed is beauty.
Can I jump in for 1 second?
Yeah.
The silence of that was broken by the guy going, "Cracker, would you like me to sodomize you before I kill you? Or do it when I'm done?"
Nobody threatened to sodomize you, did they, Mr. Carolla?
No.
That's a damn lie. That's a damn lie. I went to that school where he was protecting me from those gangsters with guns, and they said, "You don't get out of that way, boy's way. I'm going to sodomize you right now, Mr. Carolla." I was there. I was a witness.
Well, Dad, keep going with the very talkative silence.
Yeah.
Silence maintained is the fire of self-presence. Silence omitted is anxiety.
You hear that, Bonaducci?
I do.
Silence allowed is peace. And silence recorded is scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Silence preserved is tradition. Silence given is initiation. And silence received is grace. Silence practice is finding your own natural place. Silence value is allowing natural forces to shape your life. And silence alone is God.
Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful.
Has my stepmom Lynn killed herself yet, Dad, or... Is she cool with this?
Did Ho kill himself, Mom?
No, she died a long time ago. I'm talking about stepmom.
How's she doing? Did she die?
All right, Dad, forget it. My bad for breaking the silence. Now, this is something that you laid on the death row prisoners.
Yeah, well, we talked to this is like a little poem.
Now, did you do that so they'd go to the chair just willingly? Not put up a fight?
It was how to utilize the silence that they were, you know, they were forced into.
But hold on, the governor's on the phone. Take a message. Yeah. Take a message.
Don't break the silence.
Silence is lethal injection.
So, Dad, how did the death row inmates respond to the sounds of silence?
First place, the beginning, they had a choice. Either they were going to go crazy,
mm-hmm.
or they were going to kill themselves,
right.
or just deaden their whole being.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, since we're in this silence, and that some way we have to make a tool out of it, some kind of aim,
mm-hmm.
so you can begin to work with silence rather than kill yourself or attempt to do that or go crazy or... So it was working with the tool of silence, but silence was forced upon people. Mm-hmm.
Tool of silence used to be my old radio name as well. Hey, Dad.
Bro.
We're almost out of time.
Okay.
You want to give a... Well, again, your lecture's coming up on Thursday.
Right. On this day, the music I'm going to do that night is music written in prison by jazz musicians... that were in prison because of drugs and so
right. But Dad, there's 8 folding chairs at your lecture and they're already filled, right?
No. Well, I'm not trying to get people to come.
Right. Okay.
Well, you've got, you know,
right.
an audience.
You got your audience, right?
Right.
You're not going anywhere.
All right, Dad. Thank you. That was enlightening.
Okay, something a little different.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, normally we do comedy, but that was enlightening.
I was going to go the other way.
All right, Pops, you can come on any time.
Uh-huh.
Get your crap together.
I mean, we could do a little time on what I saw up there if you ever want me to come up and talk about it.
All right, we'll do that.
Okay.
All right.
Are you coming on Thursday?
I got to check with my assistant.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's your dad.
It's always been my dream to say that.
You're going, aren't you?
My house is on fire, Dad. Did you know that?
The one in Malibu?
Yeah.
Oh, no. The last time I heard it, your house wasn't on fire.
No, it is now.
I'm going to have my assistant light it on fire so I can go there Thursday night and put it out. All right, Dad, we'll talk.
All right.
All right, good times.
This show's on fire.
Hell yeah.
Bye, Mr. Carolla.
Bye, Mr. Carolla.
I like that poem.
Yeah, what'd you think? If I wasn't making fun of him all the way through it. All right, now we need to take a break. We'll be back. Hey, Pops, if you're listening, Thursday night, Playboy Mansion.
Yeah, baby.
Forgot about that.
Hell yeah.
Hell no, I can't go to your lecture. Sorry. Hold on a second. Given the choice, listen to the old man wax on about silence and play a little... Herb Alpert on the vibes, or hang out in the grotto with a bunch of drunken chicks wearing Miller Lite t-shirts.
Oh, great.
It's got check time. I'm going Playboy Mansion. That's
yeah,
right.
Hello?
We'll be there Thursday night. I can't go to lecture, Pops. Sorry, business. Just enough time for thanks where thanks are due. Janet Jones Gretzky. Got the big estate sale going on Saturday, 7 a.m. at Oaks Christian School. Also, Kevin Nealon. Kevin Nealon's a puss. The Comedy Festival, November 17th at Caesar's Palace. And Weeds, Monday nights, 10 o'clock showtime. Teresa Strasser, TMZ. And until next time, it's Adam Carolla saying, mahalo. Would you like me to sodomize you before I kill you? Or
no.
Do it when I'm done?